Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the September council meeting of the Lachlan Shire. Certainly, we're supposed to have had elections by now, which supposed to have been last weekend, I think it was there. So now it looks like we're extended for another 12 months. And how the last 4 years has gone, that won't be long before the next 12 months goes. And the other exciting thing is, too, that we've got the business awards on Friday night at the SRA. It's going to be quite a good night, because it's great that the Chamber's certainly taking a fair bit of initiative and supporting each other, which I think is a great thing. And our guest speaker that night is Tim Gable, actually, the ABC sportsman. I've listened to him quite often, so we're looking forward to that night. And just to remind people that everything is recorded here today. Do I need to turn that on?
That'll help.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, just to remind you that everything is recorded today. Each meeting, you got your little discs around there. So just when you're making your comments and that sort of thing, don't be too defamatory and don't try and abuse people. And try and keep to the point of recommendation. And we don't want any more history lessons, if we like to put it that way. Let's move along, and I'll ask Councillor Mark Hall if he could do the acknowledgement of country and its elders. Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On behalf of the council and myself, I would like to pay my respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we gather, the Wiradjuri people. I pay respect to elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hall, for that acknowledgement. Now we're moving on to apologies and requests for leave of absence.
Councillor Bendall.
Councillor Bendall, I think, is the only one I've... that we've received, and I think everybody else is here. So would someone like to move that?
Move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Brady. Seconder.
Seconder, John.
Councillor Phillips. Have all those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Now, would someone like the confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 26th of August 2020? Would someone like to...
I'll do that to you.
...true and correct recording of that particular meeting? It's Councillor Brady.
Second.
Councillor Hall. No issues. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, and that is carried. Now moving along to 27, Mayoral Minute. Mayoral Minute meetings and functions attended by the Mayor and Deputy Mayor in September. Would someone like to move it? Councillor Phillips, seconder.
I move.
Yep, Councillor Carter. If there's no questions there, some of the functions and that sort of thing. It's been a pretty, nearly call that a quiet month, quite a little bit.
Not much happening.
If there's not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Now page 28, Mayoral Minute for September. Would someone like to move that recommendation?
I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Brady, thank you. Second up, Councillor Hall. As you can see there, I've just made comments on the Chamber's night on Friday night, and also about Gumbin Lake, which is going to come up in the business paper today. So, no further comment on that. All those in favour?
Aye.
As against, is carried. Public forum. Yep, public forum. And we do have one particular person, Heather Blakely, here today from the youth services, and Heather to speak to us on a matter re VMX track, I think it is. And Heather, we welcome you to the council meeting, and thank you. How long are you there? 10 minutes, do I? How long were you on?
Take long. But...
5 minutes, I think we'll give them. Anyway, you've got the council and that, they might want to ask you a couple of questions once you've done your presentation.
Heather, would you like to speak into this and sit down? Yeah. One of those dodgy chairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, just be careful, it'll shoot down when you don't expect it.
Oh,
turned on. That one turned on.
Yeah, mine's all the way over here. Just don't have any. That's an easy way out.
Got a dead one. Maybe your volume's in. Power switch?
No,
there you go.
It's not getting enough. I asked to ignore.
Might be a Heather. You've been muted.
I'm going to ask that.
Dad, a Karen with that.
I heard that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for having me, councillors, to this proposal forward. We have had a very trying time with the COVID restrictions, with the youth centres and with our youth engagement. However, we have formed a small committee with a group of young boys and girls who are aged from 12 to 16 who are very keen to have a BMX track. And it's also called a pump track, so you will notice in the brief that I have prepared in talking about how we could go about this. We've had very brief discussions with the general manager, so presenting this today to council for your proposal for us to, or approval for us to go ahead with this proposal. There is funding available that we're going to apply for grants. Over on the second page, the Youth Opportunities Grant is open now, and that's up to $50,000. There's FQLR, Tackling Tough Times, up to $60,000. Clubs Grants is a smaller one. There's also Sport and Recreation and Community Infrastructure Grants available. So we're looking at trying to source the funding and quite a lot of in-kind work with farmers. People have suggested that they would assist with if a farmer was digging out a dam or something, then they would help to supply the landfill. And I've been in touch also with BMX Tracks Australia, which is a Sydney company who have advised very seriously to make sure that you get a good concept, a good design initially, and to have it, if possible, sealed, but I'm not quite sure if that's possible for us at this stage. But we're looking at doing it in stages. So stage one would be getting that design, working with the young people and having exactly what they want. There are three different stages, a beginner, intermediate and advanced stage. So we're looking at having a BMX track that will enhance all ages in the community so that you could have bicycle riders as well as the BMX track as well as smaller skate scooters. We're also looking at having our project partners and looking at other different groups throughout the community who will be part of this, and in particular looking at bike and road safety with Mel Suter, who is our road safety management person. So I just present this for discussion and would like to consider that we use somewhere that is council land that we could put this BMX track on and look at how it can go forward.
Any questions to Heather?
What happened to the old BMX track? You want to tell me? The one we used to have over near the bridge, what happened to it?
That has slowly eroded away. It's just been over a period of time that has gone. Like we're talking of something back in about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was an instigated project with Skinny Saunders, who was the person at the depot at the time. I'm really pleased to say one of the young committee members is his great-grandson. So we have Zane Saunders on the committee. So that's a really nice thing to have as well.
So where is the where you want to put it, the same place again, ever, or what?
We're not quite sure yet. The young people would like to have it, and I did speak to Greg very briefly, in opposite the park in Lachlan Street where the old bowling club was. But, you know, that's up to the council to decide. I think it needs to be in a precinct where there are sporting facilities. There needs to be toilets available. We need to have it as a safe area. So at this present time, there isn't a site to be proposed. I think that needs to come back to council after we look at designs and proposals.
And how many young people are interested in doing it?
There's 10 young people on the committee with a lot of other people saying, yes, this is really good.
And what's the cost?
Gosh.
It depends on what you want to build.
That's right. So there's different... The BMX track people in Sydney that I spoke to said that $50,000 would be quite minimal and would not have enough advanced pumps and lifts and things. So sort of thinking that we might need to have more than that.
Right.
Now, I just don't seem to be able to work this here microphone for some reason. Now I can. I was using the wrong finger. thanks, Heather. Yeah, good presentation. Yeah, look, and I just say it was about 20 years ago, if I recall, that BMX track was discussed, you know, back in the days when we actually had some grant funding there to do a skateboard track, and they all come together pretty much. But my boys were actually at school back in those days, and probably a few around the room too, when that bit of a track was over. Sort of like an unofficial track, I guess, opposite the SRA ground. And from my memory, it was basically graded to the level to make more car parking spaces. Was the reason given back in those days for the Bernard Ball, so they could park across the road there. That's what happened to that. But those kids, they jumped up and down back in that. And a few councillors present here today would recall that. And the kids really wanted something back there again. And even to this day, it's something that could be a very low project. And you see it on farms, and as you go around the countryside, where they've just pushed a bit of dirt up and they make their own little track. That's right. It's very, very cost-effective to do it that way there. So, I mean, something like that could be done again, rather than just saying we've got a group of 10 young kids that are fired up, because that's going to be this age group at the moment. It might be one of the Skinny's grandkids and that too. But as these things come and go in stages, such as the BMX, such as the skate park and that, they had their little period, you know, like one year it might be football, next year it might be BMX or whatever. But I think it's something that we could look at doing probably without going to any great expense, just pick an area. Like even back over there again, I don't know why. I mean, you'd remember, Heather, you'd have to recall back in those days how the kids kicked up about that track being graded to the ground, you know, like they used to go there after school. And on the grade, I don't recall any incidents of the broken arm or any problems over there, and this high vis. I don't know. I don't know what the right area is. There's obviously plenty of areas, but I'm totally for it. As Councillor Brady, no doubt, and most councillors in this room, I'd suggest all councillors and staff would be very keen on seeing it go forward. But all I'm just saying is I don't think we need to spend a lot of money at this stage. If we could find a bit of land, get councillors a bit of dirt there. Like, I'm just very pragmatic in what I say and how I say things, and it doesn't necessarily probably suit work, say, for Australia and different places. But that's where this governor stuff is sort of destroying these little country towns. They try to make it do it exactly the same as they do in the middle of Perth or Sydney or something, and that's where it's lost a bit, I think, you know. We don't need to spend $50,000. If you went out and asked the kids what they'd like, I'm pretty certain they'd say, I've just put a mound here and a bit of a mound there and have a bit of a jump here. We can go between the hills. A bit like out in Mount Tilbury, I suppose, isn't it? They'd be happy. I commend you for going forward, and I certainly support it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Like anyone else, like a question to Heather on this proposal? No, I think you've brought it forward, and I think it's written in the council, and they'll follow it through and get some grant money and go forward.
All right, good. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if the staff can work with Heather to develop a proposal and report back to council once we've got a preferred location identified and an idea of what the budget might need to be.
Yep. All right.
It's not like the skate park out around the...
Right. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming in. All right. And just one other thing that I forgot to mention too was that the centre area here, please don't go in there. Due to the cords and everything else, and it could upset the sound system and everything, so on the outside.
I'm going to go in there.
You might get COVID in there. All right, disclosures of interest. Anyone got any disclosures of interest in this particular business paper? And I think Mel Rees and Mel Blewett are both going to...
It's non-pecuniary, so...
Yep.
You've got to turn it off.
8.1, the donation requests. Kendoglan High School have requested donation towards their speech night. I'm obviously employed by them. And the Kendoglan Public School application for the swimming program as well. Just with some knowledge I bring from my other role to that one. And at 8.3, the Willow Bend Sports Centre. I'm employed by the Department of Education. New South Wales and have been involved in the development of the, what's it called? I don't even know what it's called.
License.
Thank you. I was like, contract, it's not contract, of that as well.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's all pretty large pecuniary. Mel, look.
Yeah, my interest is in 18.3 in the confidential section of the paper. I've got a significant interest, so I'll be leaving the room and won't be voting or listening to the debate.
Big ears closed.
Thank you, Mel. Anyone else got a...
Mr. Mayor, in your turn as well. 18.1, just as I'm a member of Rotary and we're having a bit in there about the donations and so forth. I think today, under the new model code, we don't actually have to... but anyway, I will.
To be sure. Cover yourself. Right, there's no other disclosure of interest. Good. Right, moving along to now to page 30, the General Manager's Report, election of Mayor, Deputy Mayor, delegates and committees and et cetera, and I'll hand over to the General Manager. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. As Council is aware, nominations were called for the election of Mayor and Deputy Mayor for the next 12 months until the election in September 2020. I've received two nominations, one nomination for Mayor, one nomination for Deputy Mayor. As a result of there only being one nomination for the role of Mayor, I declare that Councillor John Medcalf is elected as Mayor.
Yay.
And Councillor Paul Phillips is elected as Deputy Mayor for the next 12 months.
Thank you very much. thank you very much. Once again, it's an honour, and so honoured to be a part of this council. I'm only one of the team of 10, and we make decisions, and I'm very happy to represent our councillors around the traps. And I congratulate Councillor Phillips from Lake Angelica and the Mayor again. And it's good there because we have a little chat every now and again, not very often, but we do. And thanks for your support. That's been absolutely terrific. And I think we've only got we have 12 months before the next elections and that sort of thing. And we've got a lot of projects happening around the council right across the Lachlan Shire. And I think hopefully we can go forward with those. And especially with the pandemic, let's hope we can see the back end of that by the time we come to the election. And move straight on. But anyway, thank you very much, and I hope we enjoy the next 12 months, and I look forward to your support, and I look forward to supporting you as well. Thank you. Paul.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, fellow councils. It is a pleasure to serve Lachlanshire Council. Also a big pleasure to go with Johnny. He's a very easy man to work with. Very busy man to work with. 30-odd hours a week for the Lachlanshire, so I congratulate him on the time he definitely puts in. I don't think anybody, Johnny, their right mind would want to challenge you.
Talk to me what, mate.
on behalf of myself, I would like to say to this council, I think I've been here 19 years and I've never, ever seen a more united council. Regardless of where you live or what riding you represent, we are united. We work for Lachlanshire as well as our own riding. So thank you, fellow councillors. Really appreciate your support. Thank you, Mayor. Clap, please.
Thank you, Paul.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make a comment, please?
You certainly can.
Congratulations, Mr. Rostabard. Yeah, I think you're doing a great job, and I agree with Councillor Phillips,
I'm just happy to see the Mayor and the Deputy Mayor position to fill by the same two. Again, I think it was a bit sort of silly even wanting to have an election. I suppose it's just compulsory. I suppose you could have it, but no, I think we've got a good united council, as Councillor Phillips said. And, I'd like to see these projects and everything else go forward, but I would say that... Had I been on the ball a little bit more, I would have challenged one of his maybe, just so we can get out there and say they were challenged.
Look, I congratulate you. I certainly don't want the position. I think you've been doing a great job, and I look forward to next 12 months. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Councillor Carter. And
We look forward to supporting you too down there. Now, I think moving right along to it, now we've got to fixing the days and hours of the regular monthly meetings. Greg, do you want to... go on, I'll leave it to you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So currently, council meetings are on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 2 p.m. Council would like to change that, or are you happy to continue with the current arrangements?
As is. Do we need a motion?
I think we'll pass a motion at the end once we work things out.
I think everybody's happy to stay the way it is.
I'd rather be 10 o'clock.
That's from moving.
True. I'd rather be 4.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is a report. It's moving a second to actually...
I'll do that.
Both Councillor Brady and Councillor Hall. And now we can continue with... we've done the elections now. We've done them. I'll hand back.
I don't care.
Mr. Mayor, strategic briefing workshops, second Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. Councillors, happy to continue.
Yep. Looks like it.
All right. Council committees. Model code of conduct practice for councillors in New South Wales requires voting of meetings, including the voting and election, to be by open means such as voice or a show of hands. We'll continue with the same method of voting. General Manager's Performance Review Committee comprises the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and a councillor selected by the council. Currently that's Councillor Harris. Change to that committee.
Happy to stay on it, Peter.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep. Anybody else is going to challenge him?
Good job. Right,
move on then.
Do well.
Councillor Harris. Internal Audit Committee. The committee comprises two councillors and two community members plus the internal auditor, general manager and the director of corporate and community services and non-voting members. Currently the representatives are Councillor Medcalf and Councillor Hall. Any changes for that committee?
Good job.
So that's the Audit and Risk Committee?
Yeah.
Different name.
That's the internal one, not this.
Happy with that, or someone want to...
Can I just ask a question of that?
Certainly can.
What's the cost of running that committee? Of bringing the outside people in for it, because the council's not, it's not a cost, but what, bringing Graham Fleming and company, what's the cost for doing all that?
Libby Skipper.
Hey?
Libby Skipper.
I know what Libby... Does Libby get paid too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Finding him out.
Yeah. Well, what's the cost of that committee? Because it was only about 8 years ago that we set it up, or 2 years ago.
Thanks, Councillor Brady. They get paid a meeting fee and they also get covered for their travel expenses. So I can get the exact fee to you if you want. Going forward, when the legislation comes in for the new Audit, Risk and Improvement Committees, which is now being deferred till 2022, there will actually be set fees, and those fees will actually be set by legislation. So they're expected to be, well, they are going to be significantly more than we pay now, but still not a large sum of money for the amount of responsibility on the committee.
Yeah, okay. Now I just wonder what the cost of running it, because having to bring in two people, well, at least two, isn't it? Two from outside. It wouldn't be cheap to bring those blokes in or bring her in for...
We are doing about half of our meetings at the moment by Zoom and about half in person. So
we are keeping that in mind because...
Do they still charge for that though?
They still have to get paid a meeting fee for the Zoom, but you don't have to pay any travel expense.
No, but they still get paid it. Grand up, I think.
Almost.
No, you won't.
Through the Mayor, can I just ask, so is this, when you're doing the committees now, does that go back out to the public, like put it out there for random to see if there's anybody else interested, opposed to or whoever else, does it get publicised, doesn't
it? The current committee, there's no requirement to change it. If council wishes to change the makeup of the independent members on the committee, they can. But given the legislative changes that are coming in 2022, it's probably not a good idea to change it at this time.
Right. So we're happy. You're happy, Mark?
Yes, thank you.
Happy unless someone else wants to do it. Then let's see.
You're in.
Basically, you're going to need 12 months before we go down. Before we go down and just have to change it all again. Right up.
As you were.
You cancelled by then.
The next committee is the Australia Day Committee. The delegates on that committee are currently the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, and a councillor nominated by council. Currently, that councillor is Councillor Rees. If Councillor Rees wishes to continue, I've got nobody else has indicated they want to take over, but if you don't wish to continue, I have a councillor who said that they'd be willing to stand in, and that's Councillor Bendall.
Yeah, she can have a crack. Don't worry, me. I've had a few good years on it. She's more than welcome to do that. Happy to support Councillor Bendall's interest.
Thank you very much.
She didn't want to tread on your toes.
Oh, my toes are not being tread on. I'm more than happy to share around the love. No, I'm happy. I've been on it for a few years.
Yes, I think it's lovely. Lovely that you give another support. Thank you.
Any other councillors want to? Councillor Bendall? So the budget for the Australia Day Committee is currently Condoblin's $3,500 a year, Lake Jellicoe's $2,700, Totten's $1,500, Tullabergeal $800, Bircher $700, and the date at the top of set, that says the 17-18 budget. We've carried that forward to the current budget years. Delegates to organisations, advisory committees. So there's the Gumbend Lake Committee. Two current councillors are Councillors Carter and Councillor Blewett.
Okay. With all these ones, can we just, instead of going through them one by one, I don't know whether we can or not, but can we just ask if any councillors want to move or they want to go on, and that might save us a bit of time.
That's fine.
I'll have a look.
Excellent. Excellent came from there. Does anybody want to change on any of these committees?
Well, I go to the Gumbend Lake Committee.
Yep.
And quite regularly, but I'm not a council representative. I just go as a community representative.
Any problem with that?
Just step aside, that Councillor Brady did that.
Oh, you will. Oh, you're good. All right. You happy with that?
Yeah, that doesn't worry me. I go along anyway, as I haven't been here. Yeah.
Right, so Councillor Brady instead of Councillor Carter, and the other one is Councillor Blewett. You're still happy to do that, Councillor Blewett?
I'm fine.
Yep, Blewett.
Any other
changes?
Traffic committee. I know Dave has had an interest in that in the past, and he's also at the moment he's an alternative. I let Dave step up to be the representative on that one, and I could be alternative if you want to do that, Dave.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, to be quite honest.
Then this will probably be my last.
Get on toes either.
I'm definitely very interested in staying with the
right. Councillor Carter will step up instead of Councillor and onto the Traffic Committee. Happy with that? Any other changes? Councillor Rees.
With the introduction of the new licence agreement and the new leasee with Willow Bend Sports Committee, are we anticipating the reintroduction of the Willow Bend Sports Centre Committee? Or we're still not having one because we've at least it, which is what we decided when it went to Blake and Sienna Perry.
I think we could continue with the current arrangements, but I think some internal communication with the schools more regularly would be beneficial to know what the issues are.
It's already happening. It's fabulous.
Okay.
We've never had so much contact in our life.
And given the changes to the licence agreement, it's probably even more relevant now than re-establishing the committee.
Oh, that's fabulous. I suppose we've got an unofficial one happening between the schools and Braden at the moment, which is great.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillor Phillips?
Can I make a comment on that? Look, when we reset up the gym back in 2001 or 2002, we had a committee, and that committee used to be quite active. I think nearly every month we had a meeting. Then when we gave it to the private enterprise, the place went to the pack. And part of that was the fact that, and I was against it as it's written down, that we ever gave it out to private, because the private at the time, they couldn't make money out of it, and they didn't make money, and they went belly up, which was going to happen anyway. Now we've got three different gyms running around the place, plus it. I still think it wouldn't be a bad idea if we did have a committee of councillors or a councillor that was willing to go along to meetings, and they have a meeting every now and then, even if it's only four times a year. So the councillors can have some idea of what actually is actually happening at the gymnasium, because that's an asset that we bought years ago, got it very cheap at the time, and an asset which we should keep operating for the whole of the community, and the community should know what's actually happening there.
General Manager, to respond to that.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. If the wish of Council is to establish a committee, then we'll follow Council's decision. The problem is that it's a private commercial business. While we own the facility, a committee isn't going to be able to have input into how he operates, and it could cause some problems if we're trying to impose commercial restrictions or impediments to how he wants to run that business.
No, I wasn't asking the question for a new committee. I just wanted to make sure we were still running the same as what we were under private lease, yeah.
Certainly we could bring back a more regular reporting mechanism if that helped to keep council informed of what was happening there, where payments are up to, what programs and things were being offered, maybe with a quarterly report or something, if that satisfied the information flow.
Well, this is only a 12-month contract, isn't it?
With an option to extend.
Yeah, with an option to extend. So in 12 months, we might be looking for somebody else.
Could be.
Potentially, yeah.
Mm. Yep, so.
Oh, I don't think it's fair to put that now onto Braden after he signed up under a certain list of, you know, requirements when he did the tender and we awarded it to him. I don't think it is right on our behalf to now ask for monthly reports and stuff like that. Because we haven't expected that off any of the other private people.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask Braden. I thought John might have been able to write something.
Oh.
Yeah, that's from a council point.
Keep it internal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll be keeping an eye on it, won't you, John?
Because it's the council, Braden, and New South Wales Department of Ed. There are three people involved here.
Hmm. And it's three organisations which are involved.
Hmm.
With the new agreement, the Department of Education are effectively a commercial user. So it now is council operating the facility. They're paying their user fees as such for 800 hours access a year. And as I've already stated, the ability of council to influence the operation of the centre is probably not appropriate now that it's a commercial lease.
Yep. Happy days. Carry on.
But we own the equipment, don't we?
Not all of it.
Some of it.
I know, some of it. Which was when we were first getting rid of it, was part of the thing we were going to do, not only equipment, but we were still supplying equipment and helping a private person before. So we should have some idea of what is actually happening down there. It is our property.
I think we've got to rely on our council staff to keep us informed.
And the original, when Chris Johnson originally came in with the council, with the Department of Education, it was one way, the only way that we could get the people who owned it at the time to make an agreement for the council to take it on. Then we were able to buy it. That was the difference. After we bought it, we could do what we liked. But up to then, we had to. For the Aboriginal.
I think we've got it covered.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Can I just make a quick comment? I agree with the General Manager. I don't think it's a commercial enterprise, private enterprise. If we wanted to get involved in now looking at the centre, it should have been written to any agreements prior to the current people going in.
Totally agree.
And signed off on by all parties. Otherwise, we're just now going to cause all sorts of issues by trying to do anything like that now. So, like in any commercial business, whether it's Westfield with their tenants, people go into a Westfield shopping centre, they know that Westfield's what their requirements are and they sign off on it. this is no different. It's a private commercial enterprise, and I don't think we should be trying to get involved with it at this stage anyway. We'll see how things go.
I agree. Sorry for asking.
I think we've covered that. So is there any other changes to the? Now we're going to.
The mayor. Whoops, we've got a light on. Sorry, couldn't put it on.
Sorry, Paul.
Back to Councillor Nelson. About the, well, there's actually a couple of things. The other committee, the town one, Brian, you happy to listen on that?
I'm pretty keen to keep doing the road safety.
Oh, yeah, right. I just feel they interact together pretty well, that was all.
A little bit the same, but I'd like to stay on the road safety.
Oh, you stay there and we might go across
the road. People, good. All the representatives, a lot of the representatives are the same, but they've got different issues. Road safety and other ones.
That's right. Now, can I just say the Western Slope Pipeline, I've had no correspondence with anybody on that for a long time. It's still a functioning committee. That was on the other thing.
I think we just need to leave that one there because whether there's still a bit of eruptions happening there, but whether...
We haven't had
anything come back yet, but it's still there. I think we just maybe leave it until the next 12 months anyway and see what happens. Yeah. Well, Councillor Phillips, I'm sorry we just bypassed you a couple of times there.
I'm used to it, John. Johnny, just it says Lake Adelia Cemetery Management Committee has disbanded, and we're pretty much right, technically. However, a few people left simply because Robert Hunt said they couldn't spend the money at their own desires. However, we are still there. My family is still there with a couple of others. Nothing's changed over the last 30 years. We still collect the money and fees and charges for Loughlin Shire. We still look after the hedges. We still dig and refurb the pits wherever they are. We make sure that anyone comes out for any monument works, they do pay their right fees and charges, and they get that in an annual report every June. So nothing much has changed there, Johnny, just for council's information. Thank you, Mike.
No, thank you for doing what you do out there. And is there any other change in these 355 committees that are around the communities? I think they're all still intact. We need to maybe a bit more following up what might be needed doing as time goes along. But nothing else there, is it? I've got a move and a seconder there. I don't think there's no other issues there. If everybody's happy with that, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That's carried. But moving on to page 41, active resolutions for September. Someone like to move the recommendation, please, so we can talk about it. Carter, second up.
Yep.
Blewett, was it? Rees. Councillor Rees. Any active resolutions you wish to bring up?
Just for you, Mr. Mayor.
Yep. Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Has there been any updates just in the last fortnight about the Lee Enfield Rifle Association's wanting support?
I'll ask John Chiletto. You're right, John.
Yeah, my button's not working, but...
Another go now. See it again.
Oh, there we go. We've been talking with the applicant. They're going to need to lodge a development application. So we've organised to try and meet with them to discuss how we can talk them through the development application process and what they'll need, and ask to meet them out on site to have a closer look at what's happening and how we can work through the process.
Thank you.
Any other...
The Hay Street. What's happening with the Hay Street? Anything back from them?
I'll ask the General Manager to report that.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. No, I've spoken with the officer from Property New South Wales several times. She's still waiting for the market appraisal to come back, and when she receives that, she's also requested any hazard reports that they may have, but hasn't been a response on it yet either.
I just see them working down there today. I thought I'd be coming into town, so... Yeah.
All right. Any other active resolutions that you wish to discuss, Councillor Hall?
Yeah. No. Thank you again, Mr. Mayor.
more just a query of the caravan parks extension tender for 6 months. We just need to publicise that. There's actually, I've actually received a lot of questions in the last fortnight from people over in Lake, just asking what was happening, because I think there are maybe some people interested in tendering for it when it comes up publicly. We just need to let them know officially what's going on, if we could.
Do you want to give an update on that, John, or update?
So they've all been signed for the extension that was endorsed by council. So they've, all the contracts have been signed for you and Lakeview Caravan Parks. So that'll be through to
end of February.
February.
Yeah. So the business case went down, really. Yeah.
What do you want? What? Now with the South Australian border opening, the consultant that we've engaged to do the business case will be able to travel to finalise that. And once we've got the final recommendations from him, the report will come to council, and there are some interesting proposals in there and alternate ways of managing the sites that may reduce our operating costs.
All righty. Any other active resolutions? All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Carried. Right, now to page 66. 7.3, request for support for the Condobolin Domestic Violence Committee. I'd like to move that recommendation.
Yes, thank you.
Hall, second up.
Second
up. Councillor Lewitt. Any questions? Doesn't interfere with anything else, does it?
No.
We're doing. All right. All those, any questions about it? No. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Carried.
Page
70. Yep. Greg, now we move on to corporate services to Karen. Donation and requests. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please?
Open it up.
Hey?
Just speak on it.
That's so we can speak on it. That's it. Councillor Phillips, seconder.
Yep.
Councillor Brady. All right, the first one is.
Newcastle Variety.
Oh, Newcastle Variety. Looking for a donation of
$155.
$155.
Sold.
Look, I
push your button, please.
Yeah. Okay. The Variety Club has supported schools here in Condo fairly well over the years, but this fund is not going anywhere near Condo. It's going up through the northern part of the, from Newcastle up to the Queensland border and through there in 2021. So I just can't see any reason it's going to do a great deal for us to be giving $155 just for somebody to come and spend a day out here at Condo. And if we are going to do it, well, we could look at maybe having a farm stay or some other type of accommodation. If people are coming from a city, they don't want to just go and get stuck in a motel somewhere. So I think, you know, if you do go along to give them a donation, well, okay, do that, but, you know, look for a B&B or even our caravan parks in a cabin or something. If we want to go down that track and give a donation, but I don't think just giving it to a motel or a hotel is the way to go. But anyway, that's just my feelings on that one. As far as I said, the Variety Club have supported Condo. They bought a bus here once for the primary school. They have supported other things. They've given money for sporting equipment, quite a lot of things over the years. But the Condo people have supported it too. I remember once Angry Anderson and all those people arrived out here. There was a big crowd of people. And I was serving him some breakfast, and he says, "I don't eat bacon and eggs because of my past life." So I thought, okay, didn't want to go into it any further when he spent his past life. But as I'm just saying, I'd rather not give them a donation this year, but if they were closer to condo, but if we do give it to them, we'll look at something else besides the railway hotel or a hotel or a motel.
All right, thanks, Councillor Brady. Your thoughts there now, Councillor Blewett. I think you've got a comment.
Forgive me for this question. I thought the actual prize was to go as part of a raffle. So we're not actually trying, like, it's not actually a donation to, it's, we're going to give it to someone and someone's going to win it and then they're going to come to Condobolin. That's my understanding of
it. That's the idea of it.
So if it is at the railway hotel, look, I have no problem with donating the $155. If it's going to bring someone to Condobolin who might spend, they might come for one night and then stay two nights. I'm happy to support the $155 donation.
Would someone like to move that way on that?
Well, as I said, I'd rather give it to something besides a hotel or motel, because you can go anywhere and say a hotel or a motel. I think that was only an example, wasn't it, rather than...
Whichever hotel, they do want a night's accommodation and a meal package. However, they would also like us to donate an experience that promotes the local area, so that would be partially what you're saying, Councillor. I did ask my admin officer to have a look into a few things. She did check with Council's Economic Development and Tourism Officer, and she didn't think at this point there was any that we could really book. But for us to be able to get a quote, I asked about the horses at Lake, because Council did mention that at the strategic briefing, and a couple of other things. But if Council would like to recommend a suitable experience, we could look further into it, and that would be part of the donation package. But the choice of the railway hotel was merely, as we've said there, just to get your price or an idea. But you could choose to put them on.
Could you liaise with, like, the aero club here and do an aerial flight of maybe condo and then the horses in Lake and a bird watching, or go out with Adam Carisi and do the fish or whatever he does there? Like, so there's that, and we're trying to get them across the shire sort of thing, stop on the way at, I don't know, you might have your rocket painted by then. but... something like that, but they're not really tourist experiences you can book, but it's probably something that could be easily organised, could it not?
Well, we'll just, I think Greg wants to put a comment on that.
I don't want to be a naysayer, but as I talked about at the strategic briefing, this is a prize for one person to come to the Shire.
That's right.
The money that it raises through the raffle is for the Newcastle Variety Club.
But I'm getting that.
Get a penny of it besides somebody who comes and stays a night. And is that the best use of our donations budget? And is it the best use of our advertising dollar? We're going to have one family come for this. And if they raise $500 through the auction, it'll all be spent in Newcastle, not in Lachlanshire.
That's what I was getting at. It's the fact that it's not going to be a benefit to us.
Well, do you want to move it that way then, Councillor Brady?
Yeah, I want to move that. We actually don't, because... as you're saying, for one or two people to come, the power of one might be great, but I still haven't got a thing. But I'll move that we don't actually give a donation, if you like.
I'd second that, Mr. Mayor.
I can't get a button to it.
But Councillor Harris over here.
Oh, you're blocking it up.
So we've got to move. I've got to move in a second there. But
I moved it.
Let's get Councillor Harris to make a comment.
Yeah, just very quickly. This is one of those difficult ones, but I tend to agree with the fact that we don't support this. You look at the budget we've got more undetected water leaks. We've got one donation of rates all locally here with ratepayers, and when you read it's going to an auction for high end users, high end people. Chances of them wanting to come to Lachlanshire and Condobolin probably is zit. I just don't think it's good use of ratepayers' money in this case. I'd love to support Variety Club. I'm just a bit worried that maybe if we don't support them, they may not include us at some stage in your future on their route for a future event. That would be my only concern, but I just don't think I can support it at this stage, considering what's going on with everything at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. We do have a move in a second of Councillor Brady and Councillor Carter that we don't support that. Councillor Phillips.
I'd just like to comment on Councillor Rees' comment. Right. If he's a rocket painter, I think he should come straight out to Central West.
Done. I'll be there to help you cut the ribbon on your rocket.
Might be ready for the next.
Councillor Hall, would you have comments? It's recommended.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Throw my 2 cents in.
Good on you.
I'm actually in principle for it, but I think the big difficulty is that this is an auction for next month. We'd need to make a decision, and I would like to write to them and say thank you, but no thank you, but we would be interested in considering doing something next year, but we need more time to organise.
Well, this is for next year, for 2021.
Well, the year after then.
It's for October 2020.
No, but it's, the thing's not to 2021, though.
The auction that they're live and silent. Yeah, we can't organise it now.
No. Week. I mean, we can't, no.
That's the issue, not principle.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think that doing something where we can organise a good experience is always good exposure. If it's done right, it's never just one person. Done badly, it's our absolute worst advertisement. And to rush something and do something poorly is certainly the risk of this, but I think that if we had some notice more than this to organise a good one next year, that it would be worthwhile. So I would just be interested in, you know, a letter of explanation to them saying the time frame has got us this year, but that we would be keen to consider something next time.
You want to put that in the motion?
Please.
Are you happy with that, Councillor Brady?
Yeah.
Going to the motion? All right.
In the motion.
Councillor Carter, are you happy with that?
I am, yeah. Yep.
All those in favour?
No.
Those against, carried. Right, next one is the Condobolin Sports Club requests a donation for the Open Triple Bowl Spectacular, 17th and 18th of October. Does someone like to move the...
I'll move that we do.
Councillor Brady, second. Are we good on that, Mr. Carter? Right. You want to make... who wants to make comment?
Same last year.
It's $200. And that will be bringing people into the town. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is worthwhile. That is something that is worthwhile supporting.
Any other further comments on that?
Mayor, I'd just say too.
There is a sense of emotion that I think it's a great thing too. I mean, the sports club is really going ahead in leaps and bounds, and anybody that uses the facilities wouldn't disagree. I mean, they've kept it open through COVID, through a lot of volunteers and stuff and that. I mean, the ground's looking really good, and that is one part of the total which needs to
actually support from what I've seen here, because it does bring a lot of people in this community. And once I said,
that it is the last day that I'll agree, and that's the sort of stuff
that we should be trying to get out there and promote.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Councillor Carter. I think everyone's in favour of that. All those in favour?
Aye. All right.
Those against, carried. Moving down to what we've got next, Condobolin Public School. A request for a donation of $7,168 support swimming water safety program. Would someone like to move a motion one way or another?
Yep. Can I?
Yes, Councillor.
Ah, it finally worked.
It does.
I'm going to move that we don't. And the reason being, if we do this, we'll be doing it for every school in the Shire. And when I first got into council, we used to get told about precedents, and then, well, this would be setting up a precedent if we go and do it. I'm a great believer in kids learning to swim. I never ever remember learning to swim. My father was a lifesaver, and he taught me to swim, and I never remember learning, and we just learnt. My granddaughter, I took her into the water at 10 days old, and she has gone on now for the last 2 years learning to swim. So I think parents should be to swim, and I also think you should learn to swim before you go to school. It should be compulsory before you get to school that you should be able to swim. But as far as giving one school in the Shire over $7,000 to help their kids learn to swim, I don't agree with, because once we do it for Condo, we'll have to do it for Tully, we'll have to do it for Tottenham, we'll have to do it for Lake Angelico. It's just going, and then we got the Met schools, we got the all, you know, we just go on and on and on.
Right. So you've moved the motion, someone seconded it, Councillor Carter. Now, Councillor Reid, Councillor Blewett, I think you've got a comment.
I disagree with Councillor Brady. I think that when we discussed this before, I nominated an amount of $2,000. I'd just like to note too, just in with the letter, it's not signed by, from what I can tell, and I'm not an expert, by a member of the executive team. So I'm not sure whether this is coming from this person individually or from the school. So what I want to do is just seek a little bit of clarification as to, is it coming from the school or just coming from an individual? But in saying that, I still want to support giving up to $2,000, but writing, before we make a decision, can we write back to the person asking, does it have the full support of the school and the executive team, and just tell them that...
Ask for co-contribution.
Yeah, ask for a co-contribution from the school and bring it back and see if that's more palatable to the council. Because my concern is there's a lot of lower socioeconomic children within Condobolin and within the Shire that won't get an opportunity to learn to swim, and we have an opportunity to support them to do so. And I can't let... I think it's a good thing for us to do that. And I'm more than happy to support any other school that comes with a Learn to Swim program. That's me personally. So what I'm asking for is, can we write back, ask those questions, and then bring it back?
And also confirm if Learn to Swim programs can run.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
With the department.
Want to move foreshadow a motion, or do you want to make an alternative motion?
All I'm asking for is like confirmation that it's supported by the executive team at the Condobolin Public School. Then also ask what Councillor Rees has suggested, whether or not Learn to Swim programs are going to be running this year. And also ask, is the school willing to put in a co-contribution up to a certain amount that we can match? I just want some more information before I totally say no to the program, because I'm quite passionate about the kids needing to swim as well.
We've done this. I thought we'd already asked them for further information.
Yeah.
The application form has got a blank space where it says the managing person of this organisation. It's left blank. It's not signed.
We did ask for further information, and this the information that council requested is about what was the cost, what would it be providing, and what Learn to Swim programs were available through the Shire. So I'm, if all councils vote, I'm certainly happy to take these other questions back to them if councils wants that.
Yeah. Authorisation isn't signed by a principal or anything like that.
So this is just coming from the teacher?
Well, that's why I'm asking. Can we just get some clarification around that?
Councillor Brady.
Before we make a decision, that's all.
Well, before we make a decision, how about we then get this clarification? I'm willing to put the motion in abeyance until you get further information.
But, well, do you want to move it that way?
Yeah, I'll move the motion. It goes into abeyance until we get further information, and then also whether they are willing to co-contribute.
Got it.
Because the principal might be aware of some different funding streams that the organiser is not.
Councillor Carter, are you happy to support that?
Thanks, Mr Mayor. Yeah, look, I think that's the way to go with it, yeah, because, I mean, just to say the lower socioeconomic kids and that might be missing out a little bit.
Doesn't really cut it all in, because
it is still, well, may still be seen to be setting a bit of a precedent, which is what we don't want to do. So if you did give $2,000 to the school, as Councillor...
Well, that really leaves it all right for the other councillors.
Sure. So, yeah, look, I agree with the move of the motion, Councillor Brady.
No, we can't afford. Councillor Hall.
Yep, thank you, Mr Mayor. It is a vexed issue. I went and did my own Dr Google search since the strategic briefing. Royal Life Saving New South Wales has a contracted obligation to provide Learn to Swim classes for every school in New South Wales that enrolls with them for a Learn to Swim program. Schools have to enrol, but they are contracted and have an obligation in conjunction with AustSwim to provide Learn to Swim classes. And I don't see that being used. I can, however, understand the issue that the school has with the loss of time and kids walking to and from the pool. But I think their quote for $6,500 from Ogden's coaches to transport them is utterly outrageous.
That's true, though.
And
they quoted me $3,500 to return condo to Lake.
I know that it. I know that's what they charge, and it's outrageous.
Well, they go
what I would suggest, and I don't know what the school here has. Our Lake Central School has a 30-seat bus, but I know that you've got buses like at the RSL Club here, and they are a community servicing, and I would be very surprised if they ride their bus, even it takes to get the kids there and back at a lot less than what's being quoted here. I just find it ridiculous.
They can walk,
but I think there is it's the time issue. It's not that they can't walk. It's the time.
If I walk with my wife, I'll get there quicker.
I think we'll follow this one up a little bit further, and we're gonna.
Yeah, I think you have more information on this.
Information, which is
Councillor. I was just curious about. I noticed the eye care insurance certificate of currency. It's dated from July 18 through to June 19.
It's not even in currency.
So it's not a current
currency.
Currency of. I presume they've got one, but that's probably the only ones they could lay their hands on at the time to.
How to grab it.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering. I mean, that's.
Oh, I sent the updated one through to the council last week for our HSC music exam, so there's probably one updated one.
I'm forever having to provide these sorts of things with my field of work, and I've actually even got to get a JP to witness the fact that it's
done.
True and current copy of the certificate. It drives me
nuts.
All right.
Thank you,
Councillor. I think we're going back for more information to see whether we can solve this, because we all know this is an important situation.
It's worthwhile. We want to support them.
Yep. All those in favour?
Yeah.
Those against? Carried. Thank you. Now, the Condobolin High School request towards presentation night. I think
move that. Yep.
Councillor Hall.
Do it.
Second.
Councillor Phillips. Thank you. All those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you.
Do it.
Against? Carried. I think that covers the recommendations. It's always easy, aren't they?
The money takes a lot of work.
They put some more in. Page 86, investments. I would like to move the recommendation. Second.
Yep.
Councillor Hall, any questions on the investments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I just like to know, where are we going to invest money? Because we're not making any money wherever we invest it. I heard the other day, or read or something, that banks are going to come out and ask you to take a loan. because there is, I think one of my investments is 0.95%. It's hardly worthwhile having money in the bank. It's not worthwhile having money in the bank. So what do we do? Do we look at some innovative ways of investing this money elsewhere, which are not like we did back in the early 2000s and we lost 2 million? But, I mean, can we look at some innovative way maybe of using this money? And I've got not any particular idea of what to do, but there must be something that we can make better use of this money than just getting 0.95% or 0.85%.
Well, I think you've got to come up with the ideas, and there's two things. You can do one of two things. As the bank manager always says, well, it might be 0.95, but you've still got the money.
That's true.
Going backwards compared to CPI.
And buy some water licences. That's the way to go.
That's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said before at the strategic briefing. Buy water licences. That will make your money.
All right, all those in favour of investments.
How about we go to 43 million on
that? As against, carried. On to page 97, 8.3, workplace surveillance policy. Would someone like to work that recommendation? Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Second up, Councillor Phillips. Any questions on the workplace surveillance?
Yes, sir.
Councillor Hall, thank you.
Why are you here, Terry? Oh, you want to speak to it? I'm totally supportive of it, but I was just curious as to whether we actually do have vehicles that have GPS tracking currently, and which ones they are, and You know, what that tells us.
Also graders, like graders, and yeah, they're the only ones that are test tracked at the moment. We do have stickers for them, so.
Just the graders?
Yeah.
So not the fleet vehicles or?
No, we are vehicles. In the process of putting tablets in vehicles, but yeah, they don't have GPS trackers or anything in them yet, so.
And yet every time we go to a local government conference, there's stands there of people saying, put these in your thing so you know where your employees are.
Council is moving towards that direction.
In that direction.
For a remand down for like a safety system. We are able to try and locate our staff if they're unfortunate, you know, accident. Those do all sorts of things. They can be, you know, primed to send you messages if the vehicle hasn't moved for a certain amount of time and that. So we are moving in that direction. But we're not 100% rolled out.
Okay. So you go to these conferences with stands everywhere trying to flog them.
I've seen that too, that we've got some areas in our vehicles, so you've got mobile service practically anywhere in the shop.
Yeah, they're called, like, they're boosters, and they just feed off the mobile signal and they just boost that up.
Just called boosters, Terry, are they?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. That's not the technical term for them.
That's your term.
That's what they are.
I think it's a great idea, and we get caught at times and not.
Yeah,
I can get service basically from Tottenham to Kendal, and only about two spots, one at Firefield and one at Albert, and that's about it.
Neil would know all about that technology.
He does. Yep, definitely. He's.
Thank you, Terry.
Hellfire.
Boosters.
Fabulous.
Councillor Carter.
Is this already true that I've got to know is that this surveillance that we hear about was going on over in China with, you know, trying to keep tabs on everybody and that, you know, like all that face recognition stuff. Like I just can't help but want to read through it. I think it's a bit of an overkill out here in Condone in some ways, for want of a better way of saying it. I'd rather see money spent on surveillance, not so much. Well, from what I read, it sounds like even in the offices here, they're under surveillance, down the yard's under surveillance, unless I'm wrong about that. And if they're not, they're about to be. The only place that doesn't seem to be under surveillance is probably perhaps the toilets. But I just can't help but think that really it's a bit of an overkill. And I certainly don't feel comfortable with all the surveillance going on in your business place. I'd rather see the money spent on the cameras out. The public can be more protected, better protected. The cameras in the street, when I asked at a previous meeting about one of the young bloke up there at the where was up in the Loughton Street there. He'd been attacked, he'd been bashed, his cats are getting shot left, right and centre, and there's no surveillance cameras. I was told that you need to go to the police and they've got the footage. The police say the council had the footage. I'd just like to see that we've got it on track out and so the community feels safer opposed to spending so much money on the surveillance in the place. I don't know what other councils think, but I think the public need to be better protected.
So we do have CCTV in couples would be aware. Probably also to keep in mind, surveillance is, you know, a pretty uncomfortable word. None of us like using it. We don't use workplace surveillance as in, you know, cameras to keep an eye on what staff are doing. It's just a policy we are required to have under legislation. There are CCTV cameras in the yard and in a certain number of parts of the building, but that's actually to protect council's assets and staff rather than to actually keep an eye on what staff are doing. So we have them in the library because we've had a lot of vandalism in the library, and also there is a water treatment plant. So I wish we didn't have to use the word surveillance. We don't like it. But it's basically any capturing. So it goes from CCTV cameras right through to IT. So IT, you know, captures everything and stores it on a system. So that's a surveillance. It's not used for that.
Security.
But it could be under certain circumstances, you know, obtained if we had to. But not without strict rules and policies and procedures. So it is a requirement these days under legislation to have a policy in place.
Yeah, like I can say I appreciate the policy and that. Like I said, I've read a bit about it. Like I say, if it's not happening today, it's certainly going to be happening tomorrow, you know, like in the near future. And that's what I said. Like, it doesn't matter whether you like the word surveillance or not, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. And the public have a right. I mean, I hear every day somebody goes on about President Trump over in America about, but he says what a lot of people want to hear, you know, like he's got the courage of his conviction to get up and use those words. And I mean, against all the criticism and that. And And I guess that's where I come from too. I listen to people like that young Cliffy Norton down, who's been bashed. He's got a lot of cats getting shot. He's putting it out there. He's bad and living only out of the Lochinvar Council, the Rangers, and also the police at the moment. I don't know if anybody else has read Cliffy's Facebook post and that, but he has a fair old rant, worse than I'll ever do, I can assure you. And thing like I said, why haven't we got cameras installed in places like down at the park down there? I agree totally, you know, the workplace, you know, like around different areas. But I recall not that long ago, somebody was saying that there was a lot of batteries or scrap or something stolen out of the compound down there. Well, wouldn't it have been better to have a camera in the areas where people may be breaking into places opposed to what I worried too much about what the staff are actually doing? I do believe in GPS tracking vehicling. That's a great tool. I believe a lot of that stuff, but I mean, as far as the other side of it goes, surveillance and monitor doesn't matter. I don't really like it. I just think I'd rather see money invested where the community can feel safe. We should be able to walk down that street 2 o'clock in the morning, be able to walk across from the caravan, from the BNS or whatever, at midnight or whatever, and feel safe in knowing that somebody's watching. You know, that's all I'm trying to get across. I don't think the public feels safe. I think there's a lack of confidence out there with a lot of members of the public because we're not. Like I said, you go back to cameras. Who's got the footage? I mean, I remember when up here at Red Division got broken.
Dave.
I'm just finishing this off. They cut it open up there. The camera, they cut that drink machine open with bolt cutters at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Where's the cameras? And now, that's, okay, I'll shut up on that, but I'm just saying we need to protect our constituents.
I think we all agree with what you're trying to say, but, yeah, look, this is to do with the surveillance policy, which is a pretty broad piece of policy, and I think especially our computer side of it and that sort of thing too covers all that. But I do agree with the other part of it, and that's another issue altogether. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I recognise that it's a required policy, but I think that there is a risk implication that's not mentioned here, and that is data storage security. Hmm. Okay, it's not that the data's being stored. You know, we know that this thing here knows everywhere I've been to within metres.
It tells you every month.
Which of itself doesn't bother me, but it does bother me the potential for the wrong people getting that information, and there's no controls on this thing. We have a real liability risk in making sure that our data systems, the data is stored securely, and that goes back to, you know, the audit reports that we've had on our IT and security, and this just highlights and reminds me that there actually is a risk, and that's what it is. It's data storage security, and we need to be really profoundly aware of that.
So Terry might like to talk further to what's happening with our cyber risk program, because he has been doing a lot of work on it since the audit did roll out.
Yeah. In the process of purchasing a system that works with best, so it has policies in it, and it's
it works with the 27,000 standard, which is an IT security standard, to make sure all our policies comply with that. So we're working on getting all our policies compliant with that standard. So there'll be a few more IT policies in the works.
But the team have also done a lot of work on addressing a significant number of the issues that were raised in the cyber audit, and you might want to talk further about that, Jan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right here.
So I'm in the process of creating a cyber security policy at the moment, and also an information management policy, and data security is like a substandard in that. So, so that will be addressed in that policy.
It's a good thing.
Or you patch it up to date to make it more secure and things like that.
So in March we had a penetration test done and a cyber security risk assessment done. It came up with like 80 odd physical risks. We've addressed those by working on a lot of patching, working on our policies. So that will probably be update. We'll probably do a subsequent report on that.
I was just to say, council staff are very mindful of that risk to our data.
very mindful of that.
Yeah. Also risk registers, like IT risk registers and cyber risk registers. So keeping up to date with all of that. So.
Hmm. All right. Thanks, Terry. No, I think it's an ongoing process, this one. All those in favour?
Aye. Right.
Those against, carried. Right, to page 106, draft financial statements of the year ended the 30th of June 2020.
You've missed one, sorry.
Have I?
8.5, page 109, audit and risk minutes.
Page 106.
Oh,
8.4
and 8.6.
8.4, 106. Our financial statement of the year ended the...
30th of June, yeah.
Yep, right. Someone like to move that recommendation? Mm-hmm. Councillor
yes.
Rees. Yep. Seconder, Councillor Hall. I'd just like to congratulate the Corporate Services Department on what you've done. And we've got another very important lady who just walked in too. Just on this report of yours, the financial statements of the year they ended, and congratulate the department on the way they've gone about sending out a report to the councillors. I think you got too many comments back, but I think because it was all positive, I think I'll put it that way, and sounds good. So I don't know whether you want to give any a little bit more of an update on what those statements mean. To council and getting them in on time, which is a nice change.
Okay, thanks. I will hand over to Tanya because she's done the powerhouse of work on this, and I'd just like to commend Tanya for her work and efforts on the financial statements, and Chris, our budget and projects accountant as well. The team's done a sterling job and have been under significant amount of pressure. So I'll now hand it over to the lady who can give you all the information. Tanya.
We have got the financial statements in on time, the last year as well. But, it is quite a bit of work, but it is a team effort. And by getting them in on time, it just means that the next steps along the path proceed well. The auditors may not have turned up next week if we didn't have them here, you know, Monday. And then that just puts everything else back. So I think Karen has mentioned that we could have had an extension. We're trying to avoid that. So an automatic one, I should say. So, but we're trying to avoid that this year.
That's good.
Thanks, Tanya.
Well done.
Good job.
Any questions to Tanya or either statements? No, I think all good news doesn't get a lot of questions. Thank you very much. All right, all those in favour then?
Aye.
Those against? I think it's carried. And congratulations, and we'll go through another year. Moving on to 109, 8.5.
I'd like to move that report.
Councillor Hall, move the report. Seconder.
Right.
Councillor Phillips. Right, any questions on the Audit and Risk Committee? Anything that should be brought up? If not, Harris, you could comment.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I was just wondering, it was in the Journal, the August meeting, it was made by the chairperson regarding concerns that the deliberations or decisions coming out of the committee weren't acted on properly by council. Some wording to that extent. I can't find the relevant bit in the report. I was just wondering what their concerns were regarding that. I seem to remember seeing minutes and recommendations coming through. I'm just wondering what the overall implications of that are, or the concerns that are held regarding that.
Yeah, I'll ask the gentleman to answer that.
That's your light on, Paris.
Sorry.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think the main concern of the chairperson was that recommendations that the committee were wanting to highlight to council weren't being highlighted separately. The request would be that we take a recommendation that requires a decision of council out of the Audit and Risk Committee minutes and included in the body of our report to emphasise the fact that there was a change or there was a recommendation that should be, adopted and acted upon rather than just information for noting.
Is there an expectation that those recommendations should be enacted upon?
Not in every circumstance, and I haven't got an example that I can give you, but if the committee make a recommendation that council should adopt a particular strategy or take a particular action, they would like me to highlight that recommendation in the report rather than just rely on it being included in the minutes.
So there's no legal binding requirement, local government, et cetera, to settle it?
No, the Risk and Improvement Committee are effectively an advisory body to council to emphasise areas of improvement or underperformance to council and make suggestions on how the organisation could improve. But there's no legal or statutory obligation on council to adopt those recommendations if council considers it's not practical or beyond our resources or means in order to enact them.
One second question, once again, somewhere in one of those minutes was a discussion about the AIC to meet with councillors, to have a discussion, roundtable meeting, I guess. Well, I think that was somewhere in the minutes. Is that something that's going to be happening, or has been? I may have missed it. I'm not sure. It's just a question.
It's something that the committee want to occur. We're trying to identify a time that's going to be mutually convenient, a day that we don't need to bring councillors in for a special meeting, and similarly coincides with an internal audit and risk committee meeting, but we need to allow sufficient time for it to be a meaningful meeting. Generally, the audit risk and improvement committee meetings run through till around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then normally on the day of a strategic briefing or a council meeting. So we've got a relatively short period of time before meetings, and I think to make it work, we're going to have to start the audit and risk committee meeting earlier and then finish for maybe a 12 o'clock meeting with council. But the date, while we put some tentative dates together at our last meeting, there have been some problems with achieving that, and we're discussing some alternate dates with the independent members and the chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just the reason for my question was, what's the reason for it? Is it just purely for our information, dissemination of information for all the councillors regarding it, or is there some other reason behind it?
I think that's a very good question. And say that. No, I think when Greg first commented was that each of these items, you know, that they're separate and reported that way, and making sure councillors understand what the audit committee actually does. And that's the idea of the upcoming session that's coming up soon, is to actually let councillors know exactly what an audit committee was supposed to do for making sure that council is running in the proper manner that it's supposed to be, and making sure that its policies are up to date, that information, that the statements are done, you know, the budgets are done, and all that sort of thing. And I think it's just getting the general council to understand what an audit committee does, because sometimes you feel like they've been a bit picky, but the thing is that there is a standard out there which you've got to keep, and that's the idea of coming up main to people exactly, you know, what it, because as we've already said, there is going to be changes in the next 12 months anyway to how we go about it and how we put our audit committees together as well. So we need to get up to date with that, and Mr. Fleming was actually going to give us a rundown on that, so that it will be a pretty important session for the councillors if they want to attend.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At risk of asking any more questions, I've got no more questions. Thank you.
Okay, so
in terms of the question as well, Councillor Hall, about how the recommendation should come to council, the Audit and Risk Committee were
was supposed to get together and actually come up with a format as to how they would like to see that presented to the council. I was expecting that to be delivered to the August Audit and Risk Committee meeting. I was actually on leave at that time, but it has been provided to me, so I will be following that up with the chair, meeting just to see if they have had a chance to meet and come up with a format. So whatever goes to council, they feel comfortable that it is in a format that they feel appropriate. Displays the urgency of their message, I guess.
And understanding too.
Mm. Can I ask a question, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, just before we do, I think all that's supposed to be happening in October.
That's to do with the enterprise risk management workshops.
Councillor Brady.
Just when I was reading it, I was reading that council decided to employ a person in Penrith as an employee. Have we decided to do that, or is that just was that just a suggestion made as to help with the audit committee to have somebody who was an employee in Penrith help subcontract to us? When I read that, I thought, well, that's a bit strange. Why are we employing somebody in Penrith? Be an employee, that's a bit out of Lochinvar's area.
Right, Councillor Brady, I'll just get the General Manager to follow one up for you, to give you an understanding of what's happened there.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Council hasn't decided to do that. When I raised that at the Internal Audit and Risk Committee meeting, we were talking about some of the difficulties we were having in filling some positions. There's a skill shortage across the industry. A number of councils are having difficulty filling those positions. Two positions that come to mind that we've advertised for have been the governance officer's role that we couldn't fill, and also an assets account or a management accountant role. We couldn't attract people. I told the committee that I had flagged the idea with Penrith about them hosting a Lachlanshire council employee in their premises for 2 or 3 weeks a month. And the person would travel out here simply as a means of us accessing a larger pool of potential applicants. I also said that it wasn't ideal for our community because it means that we haven't got a person moving into our area and bringing their family to the town and living here. However, if we can't get the skills and we can't afford to buy consultants to do the work, it was an alternate method that we might be able to employ a skilled person to do a particular task for us. So I was trying to impress upon the committee that we're thinking very broadly about how we can meet our organisational obligations and requirements.
Okay. Just the way it read, it looked like we were employing somebody, Penrith, but anyway.
No.
And I thought, well, that's great.
Fair question.
We want a Penrith to be a Lochinvar employee.
Any more questions on the audit committee? I don't think so. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Now we'll go to page. Thank you, Karen. That's the end of the corporate services. Now on to environmental, tourism and economic development. Page 124, natural disaster clause of Lachlan Environment Plan for 2013. Right, someone like to move that recommendation?
The recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Harris, second up.
Huge number of accounting.
Yeah. Right, Nelson. Councillor Nelson, thank you. Any questions on this report? The natural disaster, you need to get to enlighten them any further, John?
Any questions?
Not. Those in favour?
Yep.
Those against? It's carried. I just remind you, the microphones are very sensitive and they'll pick up every word you've said. And Councillor Brady, I think we might have been talking there at one stage too, that they're very, very sensitive. So if you want to hear yourself speak again, get it on the Facebook and it'll be right.
Okay, that's okay. I'll do that too.
Did I move and sing in there? I did all that, didn't I?
I've got plenty of samples of sensitive toothpaste at the surgery.
Right, page 130, 9.2, planning proposal, amendment of the Lachlan Environmental Plan 2013 to include Murrin Bridge. Would someone like to move that?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Hall, I thought you might have. Second it. Yeah. Councillor Phillips, any questions on that proposal? I think it's pretty straightforward. All those in favour?
All right.
Those against? It's carried. Now to page 132.
John, just before you go there.
Yep. Sorry. I'll press the button to let you in.
Yeah.
a disagreement with what's just been passed. But what happens out at Murrum Briggs, they've got a private identity out there doing all the stormwater and water, the raw water, and then our local boys, which is the Shire now, have to go out there to do something. They have to do it under pressure. There's no keys available to them or any other contractor that goes out there to turn the water off, so physically you're getting wet every time you have a raise of 5 hours, which you can't turn off. So maybe through if we're taking this over and getting organised, we must be able to get a key to get into the locked up area down there with the towers in it, so you can actually turn that water, physically turn it off. Something to take up with the water boys, I guess, at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything on that?
They might know that.
I don't have any to add, Councillor, Mr. Mayor, other than it seems like a good idea.
And it's just...
I wasn't aware that was the situation.
No, we've never been able to turn any water mains off out there, right?
Yeah. Right, I think...
the boys found it was they don't turn it
off. Lucky you brought it up, I'd say.
Oh, well, I'm sick of getting wet.
Oh, sure. Especially in winter.
Ricky and the boys...
Summer's coming.
They're totally getting wet every time they've got to go out and do something too.
Fair enough. Right, now to page 132, community sport and sporting grants. Would someone like to move the recommendation?
Harris.
Councillor Harris. Seconder.
I'll second it, Julian.
Councillor Phillips. Have we going to do...
Peter Harris gets a footy jumper on.
He's just woken up. He's on the move.
Go through each one.
Right, we've got to go through each one by looking. And the first one is the Lachlan Valley United Fizzy. And the project Keeping Kids Active, they're looking for a grant of $2,000 towards that. I think we'll have to move a motion on each one of these as we go through them.
Move that one.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
That meets the requirements. That's it.
Councillor Blewett, second to Councillor Harris. No questions about that one. I'm happy. Right. All those in favour?
All right.
Great.
I'm not sure they'll get 2 iPads and some speakers for $2,000, but
no.
Good luck to them.
$2,800.
But Tullabajul Central School of Citizens project softball and students looking for a grant of $2,000. Something like
that. Move it.
Councillor Harris, seconder Councillor Hall. All right, there's no question about that one. They're quite happy with that. It all goes within the scheme of things I have. Yep, all those in favour?
All right.
As against, carried. Lake Adelico Sports Club project insurance.
I've got a question.
We just get a mover in a second before we go. Who moved it?
I did.
So Harrison, Councillor Phillips, and question from...
Questions are not there.
Well, you go first. You're right. You go first, and I'll ask if you cover it.
That's right. Well,
Councillor Phillips.
I'm just looking down further in the current revenue rating. They're into the Shire for $13,000. I don't know of any other way to put it, but if you can't pay for your water rates, I just find it's a little bit difficult to ask for a donation from the council. And I support the Lake Adelico Sports Club, but I just find that a little bit awkward. Happy to support it, though. But, anybody else?
It's an external grant. Okay, Councillor.
Oh, an external grant. Well, I'm happy to support it, yeah.
Yeah. Turn your thing off, Paul.
Oh, not right. Oh, sorry, Johnny.
I'll ask Councillor Blewett. Someone's on. Nobody? For sure, you're not going. Yes, you are. No.
That's going to work.
No, you just turned off.
Turned it off.
Flash. Oh, no, it's green. Broken. Can I just talk? Here you go.
Please go for it.
Off your mind. It'll work. No. It was working. Something okay, broken. I'll just ask.
Cross.
Since it does say down here, and I'll try and talk loud, it says they owe a significant outstanding water account. If we do grant them that, how can we ask them to pay that towards the water? Like, because this is a grant for what they've asked for.
We pay it ourselves.
I'm just asking the question, like, they do owe us the money, but this is not asking for money to pay that off. It's asking for money to do something else. So how are you guaranteed if you give them the money they're going to do that? I just don't understand it. Sorry.
Who's going to say it? Greg's going to give us an answer to that one.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The only way that you could do it would be to write to them and say that we've given you a grant of $2,000 and we've deducted the value of that from your outstanding water account. They're proposing to use the money to pay for insurances and other costs, but not to pay this bill to council.
I wouldn't actually hand the money over to them. I'd simply reduce the water account.
So we're only paying ourselves. That's the way I look at it. Yeah.
They call that innovative bookkeeping.
Yes. From this hand to that hand and back again.
Yes. We should make a bit of naivety. This is actually the golf club, is it?
Yeah. Club. The golf club.
What's up?
Yeah, they used to always be called golf clubs anyway.
Councillor Burke.
I still don't understand how
they've applied for $2,000 for something and we're taking it to do something else. I don't understand how we can do that.
We're giving them
can someone explain? Like, what I'm asking is you're saying, look, you just take it off there, but they haven't asked for the money to be taken off their water bill. I don't understand how we can. They've applied for funding. We either say yes or no, but we can't stipulate how they spend it. They've asked to be spent on a certain way.
But we can stipulate how we give it.
Hang on. We'll get Greg to answer that.
Sorry, I'm
I can answer it, but I think Greg will.
We're donating money, so if council want to attach conditions to it, we can impose those conditions and say that we're not prepared to grant you $2,000 towards the cost of your insurance, but we will give you $2,000 towards the cost of your water bill.
Take it off your water bill. We can do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, look, I'm inclined to agree with Councillor Blewett. Really, the march for a donation.
Not at all, doesn't it?
And I just personally think that's what you should be dealing with. You shouldn't be adding anything or taking anything off. But I just think you have to say, yes, you're going to give it.
I'm not going to give it. I ain't going to be forced to get it. I'm in favour of Councillor Blewett on that one.
Councillor Phillips.
Yeah. We're going to give it.
Mr. Mayor, I know what I've just said and I stand by that. But however, it's an outside foundation. And Grant, I know they're in trouble. I know they're in a lot of trouble. There's still about 50 people that do go out there and utilise that sports club ground. Socially, playing golf. I don't believe the club's doing anything financially rewarding. Look, it's an outside grant. I think, look, give them the grant and hopefully keep them going for 12, 18 months.
Yeah. All right, just hang on. I'll give Greg to comment that one.
I just wanted to make the point, it's not outside money, it's council's money, and it's coming out of our tourism and marketing budget. So we're reallocating up to $15,000 out of a $28,000 budget. It is the council's money that we're giving away.
Yeah. That's up to us how we give it.
I'm just not comfortable doing that, sorry.
I'm not
speaking for anyone else. I'm just...
That's all.
This is one of these typically difficult situations, as Councillor Phillips has pointed out. There's a lot of people that go out there and play golf. Right. At a reputational risk issue, the truth is that they are insolvent trading. And we need to be very careful with how we do anything around that.
Mm.
The truth is that the club's not running, but people are attending to play golf. And I think I think there might need to be a little bit of other investigation around that whole scenario, because in my mind we are facilitating insolvent trading. That's my perception of it from outside, and I don't think that we want to get caught in that.
Not in the...
So you feel that maybe we should be talking more to the club before we actually let the money go, even though they've asked for $2,000 towards insurance, and that's the thing, we maybe should be consulting with the club, explaining to that you owe us for water. Would you like to put the water towards the water, or do you want to still do the $2,000 for insurance?
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yeah, I think we should talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still say we'll give the $2,000, but we'll talk to them.
Talk to them. Then
I think we don't. It's closed. It's gone. There's no golf. Over.
Yeah,
finished.
I actually think we need to talk to them about their business, not just what they're going to do with this.
Yeah.
Right, Mr. Murray, I think you need to probably ask them, there's another way the council may be able to help rather than give the grant out. That's right, what Council says. Right. Quick, you are being encouraged.
Yeah. Who moved in second there?
Okay. Harris and Councillor Phillips.
Harrison Phillips says, so do you feel that maybe we should be talking to them a bit more and finding out exactly where they're at, if they're insolvent or if they are they going to continue?
Yeah, definitely. And
make some money out of them otherwise.
All those in favour?
Yeah, just ask the question there. How many people actually, it's obviously not having any official tournaments, but people are going there playing socially. So how many people are actually using the golf course? Anybody know?
There was a large number weekend before last. They had a big golf day on the Sunday. I don't know what the numbers are, but it was several dozens at least.
The schools use it too, don't they?
It's going to have to be a fundraiser for them. Are they putting money into...
Unlike any club that's not doing it too good, they've got the same old scenario. They've got about half a dozen to eight people there trying to keep it afloat. They do all the work. They're getting tired, they're getting exhausted, they're getting old.
Get sick of it.
Unfortunately, they're facing these accounts, bills, and due to a few decisions made badly by the previous committee, they're now going backwards.
Yes, how about that
half a dozen?
They're actually playing golf casually there. Are they actually...
They're keeping their dream alive by putting X amount of finance into the mowing of the greens and the oiling of the greens, et cetera, et cetera. Yes.
So I think this will be part of our investigation.
Right.
Yep.
I think so. Investigate further.
If you look at it, you'll probably find that a lot of that water bills the cricket club, who doesn't seem to actually financially support the club.
Cool. I think looks like we might be in for some exciting information. All right. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, carried. Lake Adelico Bowling Club.
I move.
Councillor Phillips, Councillor Harris. Any questions on the hygiene stations? No questions about that? All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, it's carried. Right, Condobolin Pony Club.
Move it.
Second.
Councillor Blewett, don't second it. Councillor Harris for training camps, etc. I don't think any question about that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, it's carried. Where are we up to? Junior Rugby League Club.
No, Pistol Club.
Right. Pistol Club, isn't it?
It is on this.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah, Condobolin Amateur Pistol Club. Question before you say you want to move it, or?
I'm happy to, but I want to put it down to $2,000 and then move it. It comes within the grant guidelines. Instead of giving them $3,380, I want to bring it down to the maximum, which is $2,000, and move the motion to give them that.
Councillor Harris is going to second it. To $2,000.
I think there's no decapitation going on.
Those in favour? Those against? That one's carried. Righto, Condobolin Junior Rugby League Club. Councillor Blewett, Councillor Phillips. No questions about that?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I have a question about that.
Yes, Councillor Carter.
Well, like it says, it's part of the grant was for uniform too, wasn't it?
Yep.
So maybe you need a bit more clarity on that before you go giving the $2,000 and also...
Whether it's a shared facility too, with the other, always have a bit of an issue with that sport facility out there at the football.
Well, I don't have any issue with the hand sanitizer, but make sure we're giving it for the right reason, the right amount of money, not for the uniforms.
Councillor, I'll give my comment on that.
I say part of the grant's for the uniforms.
Hang on, John.
Actually clarified that. It's actually the headsets that the referees have to wear to communicate to the touch judges on the sideline. They now have to have individual headsets, whereas they used to share them. So it's not actually a uniform per se.
Yeah, they've written it.
Equipment.
Okay. Yeah, it's equipment rather than a uniform.
And that'd be a COVID health.
So, yeah. Right.
I used to yell at one.
I think that's all pretty straightforward.
You've got to each other. God almighty.
Right. All those in favour?
All right.
Garrett, I think that covers them all. Right. Moving on to page. Am I going to page 166, am I? Well, 164.
That?
164. 9.4, utes in the paddock, replacement ute and repainting of the existing ute. Someone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Harris, seconded Councillor Carter. Any dramas about that? I don't think we need to be filled in any way, John. It's all pretty straightforward. It all looks pretty... All right. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right, page 167, 9.
Can I just ask a question on the utes? Before you get these further. The bloke who's given up his ute, did they own the utes themselves? No. So when they say they give up the ute, that ute can be then resprayed by somebody else.
No, we can't destroy his artwork.
So he does own the ute, but he doesn't own the ute.
Correct. Caught between a rock and a hard place.
That is.
What's the liability on that?
That is ridiculous. So if anybody goes to paint, if we go and paint the water tower, and I'm the person who paints it, I own the water tower.
No.
Well, that's the way it is with the ute, isn't it?
Council gifted the ute.
I think it's an issue of making sure that we have signed agreements where they relinquish their artistic rights, that we have control, and then it's not an issue. And this is what didn't happen with the utes the first time round. That's been our problem from day one.
Yeah. So when they originally were out at Burrawong, the people at Burrawong just allowed the utes to be put there originally. Well, they didn't even ask about these things. No. So when we've taken them over, now we've got all this legislative stuff that we have to go through. So the ute then is his, but it's not his.
Yeah. Just don't go to court about it, for God's sake.
Just one other question, if I could, please, Mr. Mayor. Pardon my memory's failing me, but I just wanted to ask or be reminded what's happening with the... I believe that we've now been given the ute that was over at Forbes, and I just can't remember what we're going to do with it. I just wanted to be reminded, please.
I don't think we've... Through you, Mr. Mayor. We haven't actually set a plan for what we're going to do with the ute. We just wanted to make sure that we had it and that it didn't go to the tip. So
access didn't buy.
Thank you.
All right. It's in the bank.
That's why I didn't remember what was happening.
Right. Moving along. Page 167, 95, development.
Move it.
First mover was?
Councillor Harris.
Councillor Harris. Quick today. Woken up. Seconder?
Second.
Any questions on the development applications or development data? Good. All those in favour?
All right.
Those against? It's carried. Oh, this is one. I've been waiting for this one. Page 170, 9.6, painting of the mural on the water tower at Lake Angelico. Would someone like
to move it?
Councillor Hall.
This is the rocket we're putting up, is it?
Councillor Blewett.
Yeah, the rocket's going up.
The rocket's going up.
Right, blue touch paper, stand back.
Councillor
That time it went up, that rocket, only 12 months late.
this is basically just letting them so they can go ahead and start the community consultation.
I was going to just ask.
In the middle of the lake, are they?
You'd like to ask a question?
Yeah.
Please do.
Might be another lunch.
Yeah, my question was, there is going to be a fair bit of community consultation before the actual final design is decided upon and painted. I don't want to see what happened last time happen this time. I'm sure the community wants something on this water tower, so I'd like to see it done the right way.
I think everybody agrees with you, and I think there's another one coming from north too, so it will be interesting to see what happens.
Especially
the lake councillors.
Yeah.
All those in favour?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, wait a minute. Councillor Harris.
Can't get his button to work.
He's gone on. He's...
We're just having a bit of trouble with the technology. Neil's going to try and look at when we have a recess. Yep, sorry.
Do we need to have a recess soon, do we? Yes. Go on.
No, I was just wondering whether this, with all this community consultation, is this definitely going to take off this time?
Oh, I feel so much...
You didn't want my button working.
I feel so much better now that you said that.
I think you've pressed your button.
Your buttons are done, mate.
Coming through the room over. I just can't see who's over the other side of the room over.
Him under you, Drex.
All those in favour?
Yep.
Those against, carried. Thank you. Right out now, page 172, independent pricing.
With a question?
Councillor Harrit, 9.7, independent pricing, regularly tribunal, local council, domestic waste management charges, discussion paper, and it's moved by Councillor Harris. Seconder, Councillor Hall. I think Councillor Harris does have a question.
You press his button, John. He's got it.
It's more code.
Hey, mine works.
I was just wondering, within the recommendations were to go with Net Waste if they were putting together a... is that going to be in our best interest? With all the member councils in Net Waste, of similar ilk to us here in Lachlan with what we're doing? or could we be better putting in our own lot of information as well to represent us truly as to where we're standing with our waste disposal services? Sorry.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Net Waste have said that they will do a joint submission if councils are interested, and councils need to opt in to join that joint submission. They will then collect information from each individual council to form part of that submission. In terms of your question, there are some differences, obviously, between bigger councils like Bathurst or Orange versus Lachlan. But the, I guess the way the paper is written at the moment is very metro-based.
Sure thing would be.
Focused.
What do you expect? I
think Net Waste in their submission would have, as they do with most of the things that Net Waste do, they look at the smaller or local councils and try and put forward an argument on behalf of the joint, I guess, the joint number of councils. So I believe that they would create a submission that would address the local issues.
Well, answer your question there, councillors.
Yeah, I think I'm just concerned about the whole thing, basically. I mean, if you look at the differences between us and as we know, metropolitan councils and rural and remote, there's a vast difference. Mm. I think we've got to make sure that we're going to be truly represented in what we're trying to do out here.
Well, I think you've got that feeling, you know, with how we feel about especially the small councils.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, there is still the option of submitting an individual submission as well.
Yeah.
So we can be part of Net Waste submission and also have our own submission. So.
Well, Councillor Hall?
I think Councillor Brady wanted to say something, and I do as well.
We're going to let him go first.
Yep.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a few different issues and queries. I mean, reading IPART's claims and reports there, there are two things that strike me. One is that they seem to not be aware of the issue with China refusing to take everyone's waste and its impact on everyone in New South Wales. It's just not even mentioned.
Australia.
And that's a ridiculous thing. The other part of their report that really bothers me is that they've identified a tiny number of councils which are perhaps charging an exorbitant rate. But as usual, they're going to put something up that affects every council in New South Wales instead of dealing with a problem council. And that is always unfair to every other council, and I think we actually should be putting that in a submission. I think we do need to put our own in as well. I think we should go with Net Waste and our own. I think those issues need to be highlighted, that councils that are responsible should not be punished, that it's the other, that it's the cowboy council that needs to be dealt with and not everyone else. It's just unfair that everyone gets blamed all the time for this. It's you can see it's IPART accumulating more and more authority and power into themselves, as they've done with everything else that they've been associated with. They're encroaching at every area, and I'm just finding that really frustrating and offensive for us. And I think has been raised by Councillor Harris and our director that you know, we do need to be making the point that for us, we're a massively dispersed community and that our costs per head are automatically higher, and yet they're actually reasonable compared to many councils in New South Wales. But we shouldn't then turn around and lose or be locked down like we are with the rate peg for things that we have no control over, which is our small population and large size. And it's offensive. And I think we should be pointing that out.
So Am I in the favour that we should be putting a submission as well? As,
I think we should do both.
So, like the general manager might want to, or John want to say something first. Greg.
The only thing that I want to flag with council is staff resourcing at the moment and our ability to make a submission. The offer that's responsible is have a child and he's off work. John's under very tight time frame, and we may be better served to make our points to NetWaste and ask them to incorporate that into their submission. I don't disagree that it would be valuable to put a submission in, but I just think resourcing-wise and time-wise, it may be difficult to put a viable submission in.
For you, Mr. That was the other question I didn't want to ask. Why is it such a short time frame from when this is coming out to when the submissions are due, which is, what, early next month, a few weeks' time? I mean, we just haven't got the time to. That's why I was just concerned whether NetWaste we're going to be able to get something in and submission. If that can't happen, is there a capacity to try and ask for a
extension
time? Probably not, I suppose.
We can ask.
But it's a very important issue, isn't it? I mean,
it's rubbish.
Something we need to rush if we can't get the.
We can probably produce, you know, a 1 or 2 page letter and submit that highlighting the main points. But as for preparing a detailed submission with facts and figures and background data, we won't have the time to do merit to a full-blown submission.
That's fine. Maybe an attachment to the NetWaste submission?
Yeah.
That just highlights our particular issues? That would be great.
All right. I think Hoover and second, I think we're happy to cover that. And I think, John, I think you've got a pretty fair handle on what our problems
just, are. Just, right. Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just have a point of clarification? Does this mean if this went through where IPART actually started to control the cost of waste provision with a set of fees and charges, would that potentially mean that they may say, well, this is what you should be charging. We can't get someone to provide the service for that amount. So therefore, we may then have to physically top up from our own council resources, finances.
Yep.
Put an extra increased impost on our budget.
Definitely.
Yes. Exactly the risk.
Yeah.
Councillor Brady.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah. In reading this, they were talking about the costs above the rate peg of 123% and 178% more than inflation for domestic waste management. This has all come about from, we were forced into having contractors and so forth, and it hasn't got any cheaper. It's only got more expensive by having contractors and having our so-called waste programs, which aren't a program anyway. The rubbish doesn't even go to where it's supposed to go. And anything I've had to do with IPART, and I went to an IPART hearing once in Dubbo to do with water, we weren't even allowed to say anything. We had the IPART commissioners come and tell us what they were going to do, not what we wanted to put to them. They just said, this is how we're going to do it. This is the way it's going to be done. Sorry. No questions. 2 hours wasted to get in there, 2 hours listening to some commissioners telling us what they think should be. And as we're just mentioning, this is one size fits all, so it's not going to be whatever happens in the city is what's going to happen for us out here in the bush. And as you're saying, we should be able to put our own individual, and anything that happens west of the Newell Highway is different to what happens east of the Newell Highway. Again, like remote and rural health, it gets forgotten about, it gets spoken about, but that's about as far as it gets. And we don't seem to get any input into any of this. And to bring on something with such a short time frame, I think, surely IPART knew they were going to do this. Why couldn't they get out to the councils a long time before this?
Right. Thanks, Councillor Brady. And I think John has got the a handle on that one, and we'll, if we can get an extension or get some more information, then we'll do our best we can. I think we certainly do understand it's definitely an issue out here. All right, all those in favour?
Aye.
It's carried, and we'll just have a short break, have a cup of tea and a bit of exercise before we continue. Let the go there, please. Right, then we pull it. Right, we're on to page 220, 9.8, the Lachlanshire Energy Sustainability Plan.
Motion.
Thank you, Councillor Harris.
Second.
Councillor Hall seconded. And any questions? Need to update anything? Straightforward? Huh?
Hang on.
John?
Oh, there you go, John.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to say that that's the same plan as the one that was put up to council previously. However, we have just made it look a little bit more fancy.
All right. Councillor Brady, you've got something to say.
Okay. To me, when I look at these savings, the potential savings, it just reminds me of the Yes Minister and how we can get these savings, Minister. Yes, Humphreys, this is how we can do it. We come back and say we're going to get $590,000 saving, or we're going to get this, or we're going to get that. You already said that you have recognised that $590,000 has been initiated. That doesn't mean we've actually got $590,000 in actual savings. It's just that we've initiated $590,000 in savings. So we actually haven't got that yet. Is that right?
No, that's right.
That's right. Okay. So does it mean that we'll end up with the $960,000 of total potential savings? Or is that just another, I'd say a pipe dream, but is it a figure that we are trying to get achieved, but we might not achieve it?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is the identified potential savings. So if we initiate all of those either achieved or identified initiatives, however, some of those identified initiatives rely on funding through grants and the like to achieve. Some of those are significant costs, which then generate the savings. So we need to get grants in order to undertake those projects. However, that is, if we do achieve all of those initiatives, then that is the potential savings.
Our potential savings are the $960,000.
Yeah,
that is our potential. But how far out is those potential savings?
Well, it's based on electricity usage, or how much we actually use. So we can't have a definitive answer on how much the savings are, because it depends on how much we actually
use. Because in your table, you're giving that we replace certain lights with a lower wattage lights, but more powerful light, which you can buy today, can't you? You know, you can get more powerful light without using the same amount of power as you used to once. So that is one way of saving money. Also, I guess, if we are using solar power to generate power for some of our pumps, will help save us money through the. That would also mean we'd have to have batteries, wouldn't we? Battery storage?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, that's savings throughout the day, which is only factored in there. We have looked at batteries for certain, I think there's one project where that is recommended. However, it really does come down to a cost to benefit ratio. So how much does the cost and the replacement value, we have to get the money back throughout the life of the battery in order to make it economically feasible. So this one project we've identified that the battery power would assist. Also, there is the waste transfer station in Condoblin, where we've looked at the solar and battery. So.
Okay, because it's too expensive to put power on there, or what? Out here at the tip, we were going to put power on many years ago, but we've got a generator or something out there to use. which seems to run all day. When...
That's right. And this that potential savings is versus the generator usage
right.
Of a solar and battery. And the cost of the solar and battery is far less than putting electricity out to there.
So how long will it take to get that money back? 5 years? 6 years?
3.3.
Because the Council of Phillips and I last year were up at Toowoomba where they were saying, you know, around 5.6 you should get your money back on any of these initiatives. So I just, yeah. Right, yeah, that's all I want to, just because, you know, they're saying sometimes these figures sound okay, but in reality, will they happen? That's all I'm getting at.
But through you, Mr. Mayor, those figures are based on previous usage. So if we use the same amount of power that we did
yep.
before, then yep. that's how those savings are calculated.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you, John.
Thanks, Councillor Brady, for your inquisitive mind. All right, all those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
As against, carried. Right, thank you there, Jono. Now we move on to infrastructure services on page 242. And the first one is 10.2 is traffic count report on Sleaford Street.
To receive a note.
Councillor Harris is the member and Councillor Phillips is the seconder. And is there any questions on the traffic count? Because you asked for this to be brought forward and I think there's no doubt about the amount of heavy vehicles running up and down there. Say anything about it, Adrian? Pretty...
It just proves it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it proves what's going on.
Yeah.
A lot less than normal.
Mr. Mayor, the comments in the report of this is outside of a harvest period and also the cotton harvest wasn't all that large during the period of the traffic count and so the upcoming harvest may produce even higher results.
196 movements a day, it's a fair few movements and 119 trucks a day.
COVID would have affected it too.
Yes.
No. All those in favour?
Aye.
As against, carried. Right now, page 244, 10.2, Roadworks Monthly Update for August. Would someone like
to report?
Councillor Harris. Is there any questions on the works program? It's got very concise there. Councillor Blewett. Thank you. Question?
Firstly, before this statement, I understand it's been a tough year to keep roads updated with wet weather and everything. My question is basically, we're actually going to get a harvest now for the first time in a number of years.
That'd be right.
And some of our unsealed roads are not in very good conditions. And sometimes when it's wet, they're nearly impassable. I just want to know what the strategy is for us to deal with that, because during harvest, there's a lot of heavy vehicle movements along these roads, and they're going to need to hold up. So I just want to know what our strategy is as a council to sort of get them up to speed before harvest time comes in.
Could be that one.
Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Great point, Councillor Wilt. The point is well and truly noted, and council staff have been prioritising the rural roads maintenance works above some of our capital works. We put some of the ones on hold and diverted resources towards getting the roads ready for harvest. We're well aware of the need to improve our roads and connectivity to the silos for this harvest. So critical for the region that this harvest is a success. Just as an aside, the roads manager advised me this morning that around $300,000 worth of maintenance money has been spent in the last 2 weeks. So we're well and truly doing as much as we can to get as much done as we can. There are some roads that do create those bog holes, and we are prioritising them. Particularly Bimbella, we will be there within 3 weeks, they advise me. I have been asking about that nearly every fortnight. And there's another one up in Tottenham, which was nearly impassable 6 weeks ago and had 300-odd metres worth of water running across it, and that is being given a priority as well now that things have dried out a bit. So, yes, Councillor, the issue is well noted and we are doing our best. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Councillor Rees.
I just have a question in regards to the email we received from Belinda Neal around the Boona Road and the drop-offs on the side, particularly around the gravel quarry on that corner. Have we made progress on that, or is there a plan for the Boona Road also?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can't disagree with the comments from Mrs. Neal. The drop-offs have become worse as time has gone along. And whilst it's not necessarily as high a priority as some of our other roads, which we've deemed as a high priority, but certainly something that we will be looking at diverting some attention to. We have pothole patched the very worst spots, but there is a few kilometres of some issues along there. So.
All right. Someone's got a gun. Councillor Brady, sounds like you're
Yeah, this is just Adrian. All these roads I know have got to be done. What about some of our footpaths? When are we going to do some footpaths? Especially under primary school. And thank you for what you did. Fabulous work. My wife had a fall a couple of weeks ago.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the footpaths are an ongoing concern, and we have received some funding lately from the Drought Communities Program to do some works, and we have done that. And we are keeping those staff on for a little bit longer to continue to do a bit more work with the available funding that we have. Regarding this primary school precinct in particular, those footpath works are included in the Fixing Country Roads grant application, which the deed for that has recently been executed. And so we're putting that work in over the next 18 months to 2 years. So.
As a follow-up to that, Adrian, as you know, a few weeks ago I spoke to you about people with gophers and having problems with some of our footpaths. What can we do in fixing up some of those bad spots where we identified and showed that something needs to be done, because there are a lot of people now who are using gophers?
Thank you, Councillor and Mr. Mayor. Through you, the staff have been asked to...
We recently purchased a new
concrete grinder to grind down some of the trip hazards as the previous one broke, and staff are going around methodically around town to grind those problem areas down. But some of the footpaths are so bad that that can't be done and they need to be replaced. Those problem areas have been highlighted, and we are attempting to mobilise resources to complete those works. As staff become available, at the moment we're busy mowing grass and slashing roadsides. We're hoping in the next few weeks to complete the footpath specifically between here and Denison Street. And there's also some footpaths on Melrose Street which will be repaired in the coming weeks. So points are well noted again, Councillor. Aware of the risks, and we are seeking to minimise the worst areas where we can as soon as we can, as soon as we're made aware of them, in order to keep people as safe as we can as they get around.
Okay, thanks, Adrian.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question on the Palestine Road. Has there been any further information or news on the from the funding body regarding the Palestine Road?
We are yet to hold formal discussions with that.
Paul, did you have a...
Yes. Just to you, I don't know, you're probably aware of it, but that intersection, Gray Street, Foster Street, we've still got a lot of hay trucks coming through there, and that's cutting up pretty bad. I don't know what you're going to do with it between here and harvest, but just to bring it to your notification that it's pretty bad.
Right.
That's about it, Mayor. Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Phillips. We've had a few comments from the public asking why are we doing Gray Street, and we should be doing
Foster Gray Street intersection.
In some ways, I can't disagree with those comments. However, the reason for doing Grace Street first is because that's where the funding is available. Slight technicality, but Foster Street is a regional road. The normal process for council is not to use roads to recovery or council funds to do repairs on regional roads. Where we can, we like to use the regional roads money to do the repairs on the regional roads. And at the moment, regional road money is tied up on other projects. So in the next 12 months, there's no intention to do any significant upgrade to that intersection. All we can do is keep it, try and keep it together with Band-Aids.
Thank you, Aidan. That's all the response I wanted, so I can actually, I can't remember everything you said word for word, but I'll tell them what you said. Thank you.
You'll tell them in some form.
I'll tell them something.
Councillor Blewett.
Sorry, through the General Manager to the Director, Adrian, again. I've just me personally, and I don't know whether anyone else, there's a lot of vegetation on the roadsides because we've had such a lot of, like, rain over the last 6 months or so. I'm just wondering, like, is Council undertaking a spray, or where they're up to with that, basically, because some of it's quite high. Like, I drove the Palliston Road the other day, which I hadn't done for a while, and it's quite high. And I know Palliston's like a tar road and everything, so I'm assuming lanes and everything have got it up their side. So I'm just wondering where the spray program was at.
Thank you, Councillor. Through you, Mr. Mayor, we do have a roadside slashing program. The roadsides around Tottenham and Lake Angelico have received some attention, so they are looking a lot better than the ones around Condo. We've recently had a tractor and slasher return from Tottenham to help us out. Tractors are out there at the moment. I certainly agree with you, Councillor, that some of the roads are getting quite long with their vegetation. It does concern me. Some of them you can't even see the guideposts. So, yeah, we are moving around and slashing all those sealed roads where we can. The weed staff are prioritising spraying of weeds, so they are not so much helping out with the vegetation control because they are well and truly keeping busy with the noxious weeds at the moment.
So. Well, I think, can I... Oh, Councillor Harris, I think you might be making me...
Oh, sorry. Oh, that's okay. Thank you, Peter. Okay. At William Street, Lachlan Street, that intersection's going to be done up. Is there any way that that footpath can also be fixed up, which we were talking about one day? Because a lot of young people, we've got people with kids and pregnant, go along there and they are complaining during the wet weather, especially how badly it is to try and push through there.
Yes, Councillor.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just ask a question to Adrian? Dandaloo Road and the Nevertire Road seem to be breaking up, especially the Nevertire Road. We've got the corner at the Nevertire Road, then as you go down that bottom there, I think it's all around the corner, starting to break up pretty well. And I was along the Dandaloo Road there the day before yesterday there, and as you call it, that diff line. So certainly, with a bit of wet weather, it's certainly opening up even further to what the program is.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Nevertire-Ningen Road intersection has received some attention recently. I'm yet to see whether that attention achieved the desired outcome, so I'll have to take that question on notice. And likewise, the Dandaloo Road, I believe we've done a bit of patching on that, and I'll have to take that again on notice to see what the condition of it is in the last 3 weeks, because I've not been on it in that time. So I'll get back to you on that.
I'll leave you that one. Any more questions on the... Yep. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Carried. Now to 10.3. All right, 10.3. 256. Utilities monthly update for August. Would someone like to move that recommendation?
Second.
Councillor Phillips. Second up.
Second.
Councillor Harris. Questions on the utilities report, monthly report? Any questions?
Yep.
Oh, that's a Brady. Trying to keep you out.
There's not more an observation than a question. On the ball that we're going to put out at out of the road, we went and did a bore and then we didn't test it. Why don't we test it before we actually find out whether the bore is going to be suitable? Can I ask that, you know, we went to all the trouble of putting a bore down and then it hasn't been tested. We got the PWA to come along and now is going to spend time and money testing, seeing if the bore is actually going to be up to what the standard that we need. Seems like we put, you know, the cart before the horse.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Great point, Councillor.
When the three bores were originally
sunk, they were tested for
a period.
The test
that was conducted was supposed to be a 48-hour test. That was stopped slightly short of the 48 hours.
But the test was...
The results from that test still provided enough information to proceed to the next
stage of the bore investigation.
And now that we are coming near to the final designs, or getting into the very final designs, the DPIE have requested a further testing for a lot longer.
And also they require monitoring of recent bores that have been sunk at nearby properties. So in order to meet the requirements of the Natural Resource Access Regulator, we need to be monitoring the nearby bores and what that
100-hour pump test result, what impact that has on the nearby bores so that we don't negatively impact adjoining landholders, and also a final conclusion on whether there's any
nasties in the water
after a full 100-hour test. So that's why
that additional testing is required, Councillor.
So how big of a radius of that have you got to do this testing?
2 kilometres.
Monitoring the
bores within 2 kilometre radius.
Whether they fall or whether they... What are you testing for that 2 kilometre basis besides... volume loss or what?
Monitoring the impacts, any on
aquifer, on the aquifer and so forth. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But Councillor Hall.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just through you. point 8 of the report there on page 259, the sewage effluent reuse management systems. It says there that according to Public Works that they and Council concluded that Tottenham was the most critical plant for effluent recycling, followed by Condobolin and then Lake Cajeligo. But I thought we discussed this last time that Lake Cajeligo was up as the second priority, as the Condobolin one needed to wait for the
money
upgrade to the whole system here. So I'm just confused as to the order that's in here compared to what was discussed last time.
What was that, Adrian?
I think the order is as you've reported. Tottenham Lake,
Jellicoe, then Condobolin. If it changes from that, I'll come back to you, Councillor.
But
I'm looking at the points now and it may need to be
amended for the record.
Thank you.
All right, any more questions?
Yep.
Councillor Phillips.
And I spoke to Greg about this morning. Again, what Mark referred to with the effluent, nobody disagrees we've got to have some water in Lake Gumban. There's nobody disagrees with that. But had we not gone along with our effluent for Lake Cajeligo Showground, what's going to happen in similar terms is Lake Cajeligo will not be able to field a side, football side, fall off in Group 20, but I don't think for much longer. The potential talk is to go into the Proton Cup, which is basically what we use, like Pondo now, which is more of a social games, which then would require somewhere else to play, because Aussie rules supposedly have it booked on Saturdays, something else on Saturdays. The potential that we may clash with our league rules,
that's going on in Lake Angelica is imminent. So after talking to Greg, he actually pointed out the status, what Adrian just spoke to and for. So I think that going forward, that would be good. And then, therefore, we would not require any water for the Shokman. Hence, all water for Gumbin Lake. That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
Working it.
That was all I just wanted to point out, because we would, and I won't muck around, we would be having a blue if we couldn't support our own ovals too. So.
Yeah. Fair enough, too.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, mate.
No more questions. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, just ask.
Phil.
Oh, sorry.
Adrian, whatever become of the Bircher filtration plant? It's never been commissioned. Is it going to be likely to be commissioned into the future? I know there was sort of lots of problems.
It can't make work.
Apart from the water standing over us and the EPA or whatever the problems were there, but it was sort of toward anyway. I just wonder is it up to a stage of where they can be, you know, delivered potable water at this stage?
No.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, a report will come back to council, possibly at a strategic briefing first for a council meeting on this matter. There is a lot to work through on that, so I won't comment any more than that, other than there's a great discussion point to be had at a later date.
Yeah, just that there was funds there originally, going back years ago, we started to put money aside for the filtration plants, but it wasn't just Bircher, it was Firefield. I think the money was set aside for Firefield ended up going out to Bircher because the cost blew out. Now, it's beginning to look like Firefield will never get one. Like I said, if you go back in history,
well, they shouldn't.
The water, a container off a filtration plant and keep it there and done it just like that for about $10,000. That was a long, long, long time ago. But
$10, yeah.
It wouldn't be up to standard now, but it probably would be better than nothing at all in those villages.
Yep. Anyway, I think the point's been taken, and hopefully, when the iron starts up, things might change then. That's all I can think about then. And even though there's work going on there at the moment with the cleaning out of the tanks and the reds and that sort of thing there at the moment. Right. Any further questions there? All those in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. Page 261, recreational monthly update for
recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Second that.
Yes.
The hall. Well, any questions on the utilities report? No. If not, all those in favour?
I got one.
What? Councillor Blewett. Oh, sorry, Councillor Blewett.
Sorry.
I do apologise.
I apologise if this question's not right. It just said here in the Tullabergia bore and pipeline that the electrical meter has to be upgraded from 240 to 480. Is that going to be at significant cost, or is it allocated in the budget to? Obviously, it wasn't allocated because we didn't know about it, but are we still going to be keeping on within budget once that's done?
In budget, it says here.
I didn't even.
It's looking like at the moment that we're down to the hundreds of dollars of contingency. I've yet to get a detailed cost estimate on doing that works. I'm hoping that the contractor will bear some of the cost, as there was a
breakdown in communication
in that works. And
there is also an ongoing cost to
rent a bore pump and generator to pump to the site while we are waiting for this upgrade to happen. So, we are very close to the budget, Councillor.
Right, any further questions? All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, carried. Moving along to page 267, 10.5, water allocations.
Move it.
Councillor Phillips and Councillor Blewett. Am I hearing right? Right. We've got you got the recommendations. Is there any questions, or do you want to say any more there, Adrian, before we go into discussion?
How long before we can get this full? Because
how long does it take?
Weeks.
Well, I know how long it'll take, but how long before we can start to take to do it? Because people are getting anxious. They are asking, and I know, but I have said, you know, the longer we take to fill it, the longer you have it filled. Anyway. When can we get a move on this?
Might fill it really slowly then.
The options are all in the reporting. Anyway.
Negotiations mid to late.
Yeah, but they're different options. It's earlier and there's later.
You've got a recommendation?
Yeah, but I think, you know, the sooner it looks like we are doing something, the happier you'll make a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've got exercise equipment now.
It's good too.
It's so good.
I went out and tried some yesterday.
Oh, I hope you got a photo.
No, I made sure the cameras were left in the car.
Adrian, you want to maybe fill in that, you know, look, he'd like to do it earlier. That's what's your, because I think it's going to take that long.
That'd be mid to late, sorry, to the director, would it be mid to late October? Is that how soon we are thinking about maybe starting?
Takes that long.
This is the question I would like councillors to consider, and I would like councillors to provide direction to staff on this matter. There are options written in the report. We can do whatever the chamber directs us to do. We can fill it early, but you have the risks highlighted there in front of you that you could run out of water by Christmas if it doesn't rain. And I understand the community is anxious to get it filled and something happening, but they may also be anxious if there's no water there to ski in January. So the options are there, the risks are presented before you, and I would encourage some discussion around this from all councillors.
Excuse me, Adrian. Has the Gumbean Lake Committee have a preference? Have they been approached for their preference?
They were emailed these options, the committee members. One response was received and option three or four was the only one written down. So the only one mentioned in emails.
So they're just keen to see it filled, as is most of the community.
And yes, soon as possible is a comment that they like to make, but they also would like to see it full during the heat of summer.
Yep. Adrian, since we are now at the end of September, virtually, if we didn't start to fill it to the middle of October, that would still get us through to end of January anyway, wouldn't it? Because we wouldn't have it filled to November anyway if we started filling it in the middle of October.
I'll preface this comment with we still don't know how successful the leak sealing is going to be, and all estimates are estimates at best, and rain and evaporation will vary any water requirements for the lake. So the brutal facts are that with the lake, of the water we have available, we can fill it, and with 1,000 meg,
we can keep it open for 6 weeks.
However, I will
also mention,
am I allowed to say this,
Greg, with
Clean Tech?
Yeah.
Clean Tech have been approved by the general manager
and have very generously
allocated a
100 meg.
Transferred 100 meg across to us, because they will not use it this year. So they've
I see that. Yep. The email. What I'm getting at, like, if you don't you start to fill it in October, middle of October, it's going to take you to November before you get it full anyway, or middle of November. So wouldn't that be better to start at mid-October to fill it? So then it'll be going into... Now, the only thing is about starting it earlier, the ground is already wet from the rain, so you're not going to lose the amount of water you would have done when we went to fill it in 2008, because the ground had to be wet, soaked up before... And you lose 200 to 300 megalitres doing that, so, you know. But it now is probably one good reason to start early, but for the length of the... and also for the extra 100, which came an email yesterday from Greg saying that Cleantech were offering, or Sam Riggle was offering to give us 100 megalitres. I think that's very good.
Is he offering?
So I don't know, you know. if you start mid-October, well, you're not going to have it filled to the middle of November anyway.
End of November.
Okay.
3 days.
3 days, yeah. All around that time.
Generally speaking, every week we bring it forward, potential week that we have to close it earlier. But again, there's unknowns because we don't know what rain's going to come and we don't know what general security allocations may increase if Wangala catchment
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Can I?
Sorry, Councillor Blewett.
I keep putting my hand up.
We're playing battling fingers. I would like to go, I guess, with number three, but reminding that we have 1,100 meg, not only 1,000. And that Biden December will know two things.
That's regular.
We'll know how much it took to fill, and Councillor Brady's right, filling it now while it's, you know, as soon as we can, while it's wet on the bottom, it should be better than last time. We will should know, you know, I'm presuming fairly quickly whether the seal on the base is also going to work. And I'm, you know, pretty comfortable with the fact that as much as I don't trust weather forecasts, the forecast is that we should continue to get above average rainfall for the next 3 months. So I don't see that there's any reason that we shouldn't start filling it more or less as soon as we can, knowing that we have 1,100 megalitres there. And I believe that, you know, if things work in our favour, and I think they're going to, we're starting with wet ground with a little bit of extra rain, that we can keep the lake open for all of summer, even without buying more water. Because I think, you know, I think Wyangla only needs another 5% for them to give a fairly large increase to general security.
What is it today?
59.3, and I think it's got to be 64 for it to go up a fair bit.
Meant to rain this weekend again, isn't it?
I suppose.
Supposed to have rain this weekend. You know, a little bit did go in last weekend with the showers. No, I'm being, you know, pretty positive about it, because normally I want to, you know, say, well, what about the rest of our water? But I think we're in a good position, and I certainly recognise, you know, it was hard on the community up here last year. It would be good to have that water there. And I've got to say, you know, it was one of the things that Councillor Phillip said at the beginning of this meeting. You know, it's been a real pleasure to be on this council with people working together. We have certainly appreciated our fellow councillors' support recently of, you know, the funding for things over in Lake, and I want to, you know, reciprocate in this, because I think, you know, I don't see that we shouldn't.
Good. Right, Councillor Blewett. Just said.
I couldn't agree more with actually what Councillor Hall said. Yeah, let's go for it. We've got a chance.
Let's go for it.
I think you're...
We can.
Yeah, option three.
Yeah, that'd be... That's Which my is, reference. Someone else might have another...
The recommendation. Councillor Harris, do you...
Yes, I'm very comfortable with option three. I mean, mid-October, get us through till hopefully opening the lake around about the end of November, early December. I mean, if everything goes well with harvest, an awful lot of people are going to be tied up during November anyway.
Right.
Very busy with harvesting operations. I think generally people in Condobolin here will just be very happy to see the gum bin actually starting to fill. That way then they'll know that it is going to happen as they see the gum bin gradually fill. So I think if we can get December, hopefully January, which will be the key months for skiing and water activities out there, that will be fantastic. And I think with, as Councillor Hall said, with looking at the weather predictions, I'm sure La Nina is, unfortunately, as far as harvesting operations, we don't want it, but sort of looking that way, a lot of international models are pointing towards a La Nina pattern settling in. So I think fairly positively looking at there's going to be further rainfall. So I think we'll end up being pretty comfortable, hopefully, regarding Gumbin Lake anyway. I'm very supportive of that mid-October period there to this little early December opening.
Just Adrian, and there's some statistics on if you get it 100% full, I mean, that can't put any more water in, how long will it take for it to get too low?
6 weeks.
Close it.
1 month. And about a month?
About a month. So you've got to have a month when you get it full, and there's no more water to go in, it'll last another month. Or if you need to go close the boat ramp.
And if we're lucky, the seal will work, because I suspect that there's been more loss through the bottom than there has been through the top. There has been a continual overestimation of evaporation rates for decades, with state water especially. My feeling is that, you know, that month of water is going down as well as evaporation, and if that seal has done anything at all to reduce that, you know that in itself could, you know, extend as long as 6 weeks.
All right, I think we all got a pretty consensus.
Fairly significant.
Mr. Mayor, we're going for
number three. Are we actually going for number three? You're going for number two to actually start using the available water in mid to late October. Is that the one we're actually going for?
Number three.
Middle of
October.
You don't want to start from the lake?
As soon as possible.
Yeah, well,
that's as soon as you can.
It's the same time of filling.
Number three is saying to reconsider the water allocation.
So, I know, I just thought number two.
No, but here's the options up here, see?
Yeah, I'll see that, yeah. The way it's written now, I just thought you'd go for number two.
Yeah, so option three and four are virtually very much the same, and just that they start in mid. You've got to give them 2 weeks' notice, haven't you? Mm-hmm. How long? You give them 10 days' notice? It's
2 weeks to get the water down from Penglin.
Ah. So by the time you get here, it takes 2 weeks to get the water here.
But it's always there anyway. God, a load of rubbish. Anyway.
Right.
Hey?
Right. Option three gives us the option, like, to refill. We've got 1,100 now. We need an extra 100.
The other end.
We've got to find an extra 100 somewhere else. So we'll decide that at the December meeting, basically, with option three.
That's all it's doing. Option three leaves it open for us to add a little bit more in. Yes, a few more weeks.
Absolutely. Yep.
So do we have to propose?
Yep. So we propose. Yep.
So can I propose that we move forward with option three?
Yep.
I've already done that.
Oh. I'll second that.
We've got to move in a second.
Happy to do that.
Recommendation, which is the recommendation. So I think...
Recognising it's 1,100 mil.
Yeah, recognising.
1,000.
Clean text, bit of water.
Thank you, Clean.
And this, through you, Mr. Mayor, this once we make this decision, presuming we'll make it, this will be advertised pretty widely through the community that we've made this.
I've got me little
Facebook page by tonight.
Off the press. I got Instagram.
I think it's page news.
Yeah. People will know in about 30 seconds once we vote.
Right, all those in favour, quick, so you can...
Yes.
Those against.
Hey, what'd you say?
There's water going in now.
Is there?
Someone turn
the pumps just started.
The tap on out there.
So didn't you see Adrian take out the mobile phone?
I just seen it.
And try and plug the Facebook pages.
And a flood study out there?
All right. I forgot this is all being recorded, didn't it?
You're on the flood committee. You'll be right, Peter.
Page 276, 10.6, tree assessment, 74 Molong Street, Condobolin and the Lake and the Lake Street.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor.
Second that.
And second, Councillor Harris. I think we've had some fairly good discussion on this in...
I do have a question.
Please do.
So reading both of them, I understand the recommendation is to remove and replace for the Lake Angelico residents with those lovely trees. And then the same boxes to be ticked in the condo one. Can the hazards be resolved without removing the tree? And they've ticked no. And then the form says, if no, remove and replace. Can the issues be resolved without removing the tree? They've ticked no. If no, remove and replace. But then the recommendation for the condo one is do not remove. So I'm just confused as to if the ticker boxes are the same, how come the recommendations are different? Do we need to maybe amend our form if this seems to be the issue?
What? Who's going to answer that one? Thank you, Adrian.
There's a difference between a hazard and a risk. So risks can be managed. Risks can be reduced
by reducing the consequences of the likelihood of the hazard occurring.
With the situation in Molong Street, The risk can be reduced by continuing to inspect the tree. The hazard cannot be removed. The only way to remove the hazard is by removing
the tree.
A slight technical definition of risk
versus hazard there, but the recommendation is to retain those trees and continue to monitor them and any damage or diseases that may impact the tree for them to be locked and those
limbs that are likely to fall or cause damage to be removed before they do.
Does the homeowners get a copy of this assessment form?
We can certainly provide it to them. The form is published on our website with the council business paper, so the whole public can
read
this form.
So if I was the person here who's seeing the ticker box that they've ticked no and it says if no, remove and replace, so they've done that twice, I would be wondering why my recommendation wasn't to remove and replace. So I'm just wondering if we've got a bit of a glitch here on our form, because I can anticipate this may be coming back if they sort of see that that's there.
You may well be right that the form could be improved. Certainly willing to look at that. I don't think this form is perfect by any means. So we can certainly look at that.
Can I ask Councillor Hall first?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I think it's worth bearing in mind thinking that about the fact that the lake ones are inappropriate and directly under the power line.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case with Condoblin ones. One of the trees there in lake is actually already dead as well. I don't know if that's been picked up, but the one in the middle is dead.
It doesn't look very alive.
It sure looked dead to me as I've looked at it the last month.
Oh, yeah. Give me that right.
And the gum trees in Condo are quite healthy and good shade trees, but there is that risk of them shedding limbs, which I do recognise is
a
risk management thing.
That's a risk all the time. Can I just ask a question on this? Because, as you know, I don't like getting rid of trees. But what gets me is when somebody writes in and asks, and their only reason that they want to get rid of the tree is the aesthetic value of their property, I find that very difficult for us to have to find a reason to get rid of a tree. Because somebody can't see the lake or something, you know. A lot of people want to have, say they can't see their property. And yet here we've got somebody who wants to be able to see out onto the lake. So we could go along, everybody who's got that problem, say, those trees. And I just find that I'd get rid of these trees because they're horrible-looking trees. But what I'm just saying, if we bring that in as part of our reason, you know, somebody complains because aesthetically that doesn't look right for these trees to be there so they can't see the lake, I think is a fairly weak reason to get rid of the trees. That's all I'm getting at, you know. So, and the gum trees, yep, gum trees will always drop their limbs. And I'll drop them before rain and I'll drop them after rain. I'll drop them any time. But you can't do much about that. I'd rather have the shade than not have a tree.
All right.
Yeah, just to make a comment, I know we had the big debate and we'll move on with this. The trees are one of the most renewable resources. They've got a life expectancy. Eventually they're going to pass out anyway. Then they need to look at replacing them then. And one of the sad things, after we had this discussion at the last meeting, we went home and I had turned the news on that night, and there were three people killed in Victoria by branch for branch torn there. So you've got to get that balance right, and I don't know what it is, but I'd be inclined to remove them and replace them. But
yeah. How long does it take for a tree to grow?
All right, is still a recommendation, isn't it?
40 years.
The recommendation is to remove and replace lake, but keep condo.
That's it. That's the way.
Yeah, which we're all happy with.
Right. You want to review the condo one more? Change the decision?
I just think we've got scope there for the landowner to come back, because they've ticked the box on the form that says no, and it clearly states then if no's ticked, we have to remove and replace. So if we approve this, I believe it's probably going to come back to us as some sort of, I don't know if you can appeal it or as an alternate application. That's my only gripe with it.
Yeah.
Not sure how we get past that because this is the form we're working off, but my concern was over both boxes were ticked the same. I understand what Adrian said and I completely get that. But we're kind of passing a recommendation that is contradicting the form that we are using to assess the trees. The advice on the form. That's all I'm saying.
Well, on here it says the local resident has complained several times about the tree and will continue until the tree is replaced.
And I'm with that, but where we've got legitimately, if you've ticked no, if no, remove and replace, that's what we're not doing. So are we now going against our policy for this? I'm just
Can it be removed? And it says no, and then it says, can the public risk be resolved without removing the tree? It says yes. So, you know, as you're saying, the form is not the best.
But our overarching policy is not to remove a healthy tree.
That's right.
It's not impinging power lines.
Hang on, I'll just get Greg to make a final comment.
He's a tree doctor.
The arborist.
He's a tree doctor.
I love trees too.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Roos makes a valid point. I think that the issue is addressed by the additional comments that are put in there to support the reason why they're recommending that they not be removed. I also agree that the form needs to be changed. Those questions are very close questions. They are a yes, no answer and don't give us. So we need to reword the question is, you know, how can the hazard be reduced?
Yeah.
And then the response can be it can't or it can be by taking particular action. Yeah. So agree totally, we need to change the form.
Sorry, I've just created more work.
but I think the issue here is mitigated by the fact that other comments have been made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, pass it.
Just a quick, yeah, I can understand the issue there, but it's the whole system is a hell of a lot better than what we used to have. This is not a history lesson because I'm going to give it a different name, even though it was in the past. It's a past statement, not a history. In the past, no, that's history. Sorry.
That's history.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. We used to have a system where we had a tree to come out. There was a complaint, want a tree to remove. The three ward councillors at the time, because we had 15 councillors and three in each ward. Three councils would go and look at it in that ward and say, well, you're either a clear fella or a tree lover or a tree hugger. And then you had to make a decision. There were three of you. So you could never get, hard to get consensus. 2-1, 1-2. The system was terrible.
Right.
So at least now we've got a system that is a little bit more sensible in as much that there is a lot more people having a look at the situation regarding these trees. And then hopefully we can all come up with a rational decision, which I think in this case has worked out. Trees in Lake Angelica to be replaced by crape myrtle. Trees in Condoblin to stay for the time being and to be monitored. End of story. Perfect situation. I agree with the recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Oh, hang on. That speech again.
Those against is carried.
That's history.
It is now. All right. I've gone to page 281, which is deputations. I don't have any
correspondence.
Notice of motions, none. Notice of rescission motions, nil. Delegates' reports, nil. And now page 282, correspondence. So would someone like to move
it? Be received.
That was Councillor Hall and.
Second that.
Councillor Harris. One letter there, is it?
Didn't you know?
Oh, two there. Two
letters.
Both seconds. Thank you letters, I think, aren't they?
Both thank you letters. That's nice to get.
Right. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against, carried. Right, page 285. Questions which notice was given is nil. Petitions, nil. And now?
Closed session.
Moving to closed session. Would someone like?
I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Give us any room. Moving to closed session.
I'll second that.
I'll shut the door.
I move it.
Brady.
Councillor Harris.
Let's move in the second that we go into closed session. Right. So I've got to get up here. I've got to get up here a bit closer, haven't I?
Glass of water?
Start that again.
Bubby.
Just turn this thing on.
Turn that one on.
I did that one. I'm smoking today.
See if it works. It wasn't working all the time, mate. There you go. There you go. We'll have the magic touch.
Tuesday?
Can I just...
Of course you can.
We right, Paula? All right, Aidan. The council moved out of closed session into open council, which was carried. 18.1 was rates and charges donation. It was moved, Councillor Mark Hall, seconded Councillor Peter Harris. At 1, the Director of Corporate and Community Service Report number R20-206 be received and noted. 2, Council donate. A, Council write to the Condover of Trike and Rail Museum seeking details on the museum's viability before providing a donation or Council assistance. B, $500 and $351 in kind support towards the Condover Christmas event. And that was carried. Review of rates and charges arrears. Moved Deputy Mayor Paul Phillips and seconded Councillor Peter Harris that won the Director of Corporate and Community Service Report number R20-172 be received and noted, and that was carried. 18.3, exclusive use licence, Willow Bend Sports Centre, Department of Education, School Infrastructure, New South Wales. Moved Councillor Peter Harris, seconded Councillor Dennis Bates. That 1, the Director of Environment, Mental and Tourism and Economic Development Report number R20-250 be received and noted. 2, the Council enter into a 10-year licence agreement with the Department of Education for a fee of not less than $35,000 per year, inclusive of GST, plus an annual CPI increases for use of the facility up to 800 hours per year. 3, the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to sign the licence agreement and affix the Council seal, and that was carried. 18.4, rebranding of council and new brand for council business economy. Moved for Councillor Peter Harris, seconded Councillor Mark Hall. 1, the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development Report number R20-254 be received and noted. 2, the Council engage Orange City Council to complete the branding and rebranding project. 3, the General Manager be authorised to sign the contract documents associated with their engagement. 4, the following the research phase of the project, a report be presented to Council providing an update on the project, and that was carried. 18.5, 81 Logan Street, Lake of Jellicoe, moves Deputy Mayor Paul Phillips, seconded Councillor Melissa Bazuit. 1, the General Manager report number 20-258 be received and noted. 2, the Council rescind part 3 of the resolution of number 2020-185. 3, Council accept the offer to sell 81 Logan Street, Lake of Jellicoe, as per option 1 in the report. 4, the General Manager be authorised to instruct Council's legal representative to prepare a contract of sale for a property. 5, the Mayor and General Manager be authorised to sign the contract documents and affix the Council seal if required, and that was carried. 18.6, undetected water leak, assessment 1027874. Moves Councillor Melissa Lewis, seconded Councillor Dennis Brady that... Community Service Report number R20-261 be received and noted. 2, the Council approved the request to reduce water consumption charges for the period of the 3rd March 2020 to the 11th of August 2020 by $3,699.41 in accordance with the Council's undetected water leak policy, and that was carried. 18.7, offered to purchase land Lachlan's Logan Street. Moved to Councillor Melissa Bird, seconded Councillor Mark Hall. The 1, General Manager report number R2265 we received a note. 2, the Council accept the offer to purchase Lot 11, Section 58DP758595 Logan Street, Lake Jellicoe, as per portion 1 in the body of the report. 3, that the General Manager engage Council's legal representative to prepare the contract and documents and transact the sale. 4, the Mayor and General Manager should be delegated authority to sign the contract and documents and affix the Council seal, and that was carried. And the meeting will be closed soon.
I'll turn that off for you. That's that.
What else should we bring up? Oh, righto. Yep. John O's got an urgent late report here. We need to
have a look at. And I'll hand over to you, John, to give us an outline of what it is.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We've been approached by the SES here in Condobolin for basically installation of electrical motors to the existing roller doors to the SES unit. They will fund the installation. However, the way their funding program works is that they give funding through a grant system to the building owner, being council, and council undertakes the work using their money, but then they reimburse council
for it.
So it's a convoluted way of doing it. But
okay. I'll move that happens.
Yep.
I'll move that happens.
I'll second it.
Yep. Okay.
Given their roller door.
Everybody's in favour. Yep. Good. Yeah. It's passed.
Yep.
It's been done, John.
I thought it would be.
Can we get out?
The sign of it, is it?
Might have to help me one day.
All right. I think.
John, before you go.
Yep. I haven't gone yet.
Harris. I don't know whether a lot of you know, but there's a past councillor has passed away, John Chanter. He was a councillor for how many years, but I would like to support the council via a condolences letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will find out his address and everything and refer it to you, Greg, if I can.
Yeah. Yeah. Your fair age.
Chanter, 71 and nearly 72.
That all?
Oh, that all?
That old.
Yes.
Probably spent the last 3 years in hospital.
You wouldn't be well.
I can always remember John Chanter when we were over in the other corner, went out for lunch, and we came back, and he was right on the end of the table, and he came back and he said, "Someone's been moving my papers. Who's been moving my papers?" I'll never forget that.
Thanks.
That's very sad.
Yes. No, through you, Mr. Lyon, I would like a letter sent.
Yeah, good idea.
We can do that.
On that same similar note, that also Kathy Todd, I'm not sure
In
this room is aware that Kathy Todd died back on September 8th. Kathy was long-term member of our community, farming background, brought up three wonderful kids. One's a pharmacist down at Mollymook. Roger out here at Wirrenen's a farmer, took over the family farm, and then a wonderful daughter, Emma, who's in Dubbo with a couple of twins. A lovely family, and unfortunately, Kathy, she was only, I think, 68, 69, 68. She'd been past president of the Condobolin Progress Association before it became the Chamber of Commerce, and a few years being president on that. She'd driven buses around town once they left the farm and moved into town. She worked down here at WPRD. So heavily involved in the community for a long, long period of time, and took a keen interest. She even stood the council out in A ward, but unfortunately the councillors at the time and Kathy couldn't get in. So she did take a really keen interest in what was going on in and around the community, and it's a very sad loss for everyone involved. And it'd be nice to have a minute silence for her, but Kathy's the sort of person to say, "Well, no, I don't want that. Just get on and get it done." She was that sort of person. She had a very distinctive laugh, strong voice. You always knew when Kathy was in the room, and she spoke her mind. And as I say, she is a big loss to our community, and she will be sadly missed. So I just, once again, similar to what Paul was saying, I'd like if possible, a letter from council to...
We've already done it.
Oh, you already done it? Good.
Yep. No, we have.
You missed a previous session.
Yeah, no, which was mentioned. I'm glad you brought up the rest history because I've known her ever since we were going to school.
Yeah, no, we sort of gone way back on... known her for a long time and the family, and yeah.
And just while on condolences day, I had a funeral today at Betty Larkins in Tottenham. And she passed away. She'd been in dementia for the last 4 years, but, you know, an active member of the community, and had to do the eulogy this morning, which didn't overexcite me too much, but we got our way through it. We're losing some of these pretty good community people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Papers you get in the folder over there, what were they?
Pecuniary interest forms were tabled today.
Yeah, pecuniary interest forms have been tabled in. We just got to.
Everyone knows your business.
now.
I know where you are, what you're doing.
Up in the know here.
So we just have to mention that they have been tabled in the council. That's all. So any other items? Yeah, the business awards on Friday night. Oh, the other one was the next council meeting was supposed to be in Tottenham at the end of October, but the council did talk about it, and they mentioned that they'd rather be stay while the COVID period was happening, that we stay in Condobolin because of actually organising, you know, catering and all that sort of thing makes it a little bit difficult. So I don't think anyone's got any problems with that, have they?
Okay.
We'll definitely be on the road next year then. It's all done.
Yeah.
Travelling roadshow.
Have COVID gone?
I think that's all. I think that's
really still COVID-y.
Just mentioned, we have five motions for the local government conference that have been written and lodged. Councillor Hall's asked that we put a sixth motion in recommendation 34 from the Productivity Commission and IPART regarding mining rates and the business rates that was talked about at the briefing. I'm happy to put something up. There's plenty of examples because there's a number of councillors that are putting motions in. I'll add that to the list unless there's any objections and submit it. But I think it's a worthwhile motion to lodge.
Great. I think that's about it. And just once again, thank you very much for your vote of confidence today for Mayor for 12 months. And we're very lucky with the council we've got. And I just feel that let's make the best of it. We've got 12 months.
Councillor Phillips, are you listening to that?
Are we closed?
Totally. And I just
said, you're very lucky to have the councillors that we've got.
I totally agree with him. Some exceptions.
Just make sure you're listening.
We were just happy we didn't get nominated.
Just didn't do enough homework. All right, let's declare the meeting closed. And thank you very much. And, next month, too, will be daylight saving.
Oh,
terrific, isn't it?
Graham.
Oh, I won't be going.